Tuesday morning that feels like a Monday morning. Welcome inside Bonnie and Friends, Jay Stemmen and Big Game James McCarty, getting you through a Tuesday that feels like a Monday. James, I don't remember the last time you or I had this, but we had a three-day weekend. How was your three-day weekend?
Would have been going into the new year. Would have been the last 3 days for me.
Oh, yeah?
Well, because I usually have a week's worth of...
leave saved up?
Yes, that I have to use by the end of the year. And so usually the week following Christmas turns into a ice fishing exhibition.
That's usually because
exploration.
It's usually journey. Because I take the Christmas week off, so we kind of rotate weeks. So there's that. So it was good for me. Family in town. Youngest graduated from high school, and
you feel old yet?
It's one of those things. There's this new song I've heard, and it was just like, you know, there's this kind of speaking intro, and it says, you know, time doesn't really have any value until it's gone by you. And looking back at the last 18 years, I'm just like, wow, that went by a lot faster than you think. So, I mean, I always say it, you know, once you get older and you get busy and you're just trying to work, say, for the weekend, or you're trying to work for the next vacation, whatever the case may be, it just kind of picks up speed. And before you know it, all of a sudden, the kids are in kindergarten, they've gone through grade school, now they're in middle school, now they're high schoolers, now they've graduated, and you're just like, uh-oh, that was an awfully quick 18 years. So, yeah, it was good. Parents came up, got the first mow of the spring/summer on the yard, so the lard looks...
Wait, this is your first time?
Yep.
Jeez.
It took a while for it to get going, and finally it got nice and filled in. After last week's rain, I think we had 2 days where we had some rain. We had rain on the weekend, rain later in the week, and it really greened up, and the backyard looks good. Got the whirly bird replaced on the roof, so that was good too, and... Yeah, I think all the projects around the house are kind of caught up for the moment. And as soon as I say that, there'll be
I wouldn't
something
have
else.
Said that out loud if
yeah,
I was you.
I really regret that.
Yeah, you just started your week off with a loss.
Did you get out on the water then?
Very briefly.
Oh, come on, man!
There was a lot of things that went on over the weekend. So I got to my first Red Hawks game of the year.
There you
which
go. Good.
Was the lone victory on the weekend. It was the Sunday afternoon victory. The doubleheader.
I thought you meant for yourself. I'm like, what is it? You went and you went 0-for on your pickleball games this weekend?
I did go 0-for in pickleball, yeah, but I broke new shoes, so that's all that matters.
Well, that's true, but I would blame your partner. Who were you partner
No,
with?
It was singles. It was
That's the first time you played singles, isn't it?
I played a couple weekends ago as well, yeah.
Singles is
difficult when you're playing against, you know, some of those... people that are a little bit more agile, a couple pounds lighter, and they're more like spider monkeys than people.
Yes, I know exactly who you're talking about.
Yeah, so that it was still fun to get out and do that, but it was an eventful weekend. Got out towards the lakes area for a night or two and ran into some local families that we have interactions with regularly.
Good.
Had a interesting event at one of the local establishments we'll get to a little bit later, and it was a fun weekend overall. So no,
well,
it was good. It just things like usual don't quite go according to plan, but they were still enjoyable.
Oh well, that's always good too. It's one of those things too where you it goes by too fast. You know, like I said, we did stuff outside, got everything ready for the parents coming up on Saturday, and got the house ready for, you know, graduation day. And then that was, came up, you know, quicker than you think to get to that point in the day. And, we got all that taken care of. And, before you know it, then it was just time to relax. And so, my wife actually had to work yesterday, which, you know, for her is holiday pay. But it's one of those things too, where, it's nice to be able to just not do anything, even though my wife will be like, did you get off the couch today? Well, no, not necessarily. I didn't really feel a need to get off the couch, so I enjoyed my time at home. And I mean, I know it's Memorial Day, so I mean, obviously my focus and thoughts were on obviously those that have served. And of course, that's, I don't know, I think maybe as you get to age 50 or something like that, there's a switch that flips and you really become interested in World War II stuff. And so I kind of find myself watching this stuff throughout the year. But Smithsonian had a really good job of these different battles and stuff that went on in World War II. And I still got one episode to go, but I watched another episode of Band of Brothers, which is a really great series that was on HBO talking about World War II. So just kind of did a little bit of that in remembrance of. I know a lot of people were out at cemeteries, etc. I had friends and family that I had seen that post or even texting my mom, you know, my aunts and uncles, saying that they'd been out to the cemeteries and stuff like that, placing flowers or flags. So overall, it was a really good weekend. And obviously yesterday, somebody cranked up that heat. Even on Sunday, it felt pretty warm, even though it was only 80 degrees. I think it might have got a bit higher than that, maybe 81, 82 where we were at. So that temperature really cranked up going forward.
It was warm.
To say the least.
I spent half the day without a tarp on.
Yes.
Some may get that slang lingo.
You might want to fill in a couple people just so that way they
those
know.
That don't know what I mean, I'd not wear a shirt. I was letting the upper half breathe.
Yeah.
I was wearing shorts though. Don't get any false thoughts there. And my shorts were longer than Dean's Speedo.
Well, let's just hope Dean wasn't actually wearing that Speedo. That's all
I wouldn't be shocked, man. It felt like 130 yesterday outside, especially with the lack of cloud cover. So,
oh yeah,
it was toasty. It was warm. We got the There was a lot of projects that had gotten done. There was my vehicle didn't, but
yeah.
Vehicles around the neighborhood were getting cleaned. Some neighbors, including myself, were mowing. We had to clear out the garage for a set of brakes to get redone. Those were not mine, thankfully. I got mine done a couple months ago.
Mm-hmm.
That turned into an all-day project because, of course, half the tools needed were not at the house. So
yeah,
local box stores were making money off of some in the household.
Nice.
And that's nothing wrong with that. And yeah, so it was an eventful Monday off. It was enjoyable, and I even... You know, I had a chance to swing by a coffee shop I enjoy over in Holly, so that was good. That's a place I don't typically get to because they close a little bit earlier for by earlier I mean just early afternoon, and it's tough to get there when you're busy and log jammed until 3, 4, or 5 o'clock most days. So.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's one of those things where you're just trying to make your way through the weekend, and when you do that, you just want to get to the end of the day, so there's that. I just need some help with the system here because it was missing the library button. So that's all I'm trying to say.
Well, fire it to break and I'll help you out.
That's an easier said than done.
All right. Well, you fail. Give me a second.
Yes, all right. We'll talk about the weather here just for one moment because Dino, obviously... predicted this heat wave coming in, and then it was a hot day yesterday. High around predicted was 88, but it got up to, I think, 90, 91. Today, Dean's going even hotter. He's got it all the way up to 94 today, 90 tomorrow with a 30% chance of precipitation, 90 as well on Thursday with sunny skies. Then we finally see a little bit of cooling here, going down to 88 on Friday and 83 on Saturday, both days with a 30% chance of some, excuse me, some precipitation. And then finally Sunday and Monday, we have 79 and 80. So Sunday and Monday, by the time the end of the week comes, we should finally see a little bit of relief when it comes to the heat out there. And it's one of those things where we're just going to have to, in a sense, you might say you might have to suffer through it. But for those that like to get out to the lake, et cetera, like that, it's one of those things where we're going to be able to enjoy some heat if you like that kind of thing, which is you know, your thing. Good for you. You like the heat, and you'll be able to get on the lake. It'll good do some good things with warming up that lake water, etc. I guess the question would be, James, from you as James McCarty Outdoorsman. Sunday into yesterday with the high in the low 90s, and then now three more days in a row with temperatures in the 90s and 88 on Friday. Are we going to see, because I don't know what the temperatures are in the lakes right now, but are we going to see significant temperature climbs in the lakes temperature? And will that help get the fish moving, or will that drive them deeper into the middle lake where the water is cooler?
Well, with it's not subjective, but it's a little bit tough just overall because you have some of your smaller, shallower lakes, your larger, deeper lakes, you know. So when you're talking small, shallower, you know, your farm lakes, as Steve Carney likes to call them, that are, you know, those 400 to 800 acre lakes that don't get deeper than maybe 20-ish feet.
Mm-hmm.
Those ones that have been warming up, those ones should be in the mid-50s right now, and you know, they'll be flirting up towards those upper 50s. So you should be getting towards the, depending on if you're able to get up into the upper 50s this week, kind of that current and post-spawn for the panfish.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically, usually around that 60-ish degree mark is kind of your sweet spot to be wrapping that up. Once that happens, they're going to need to start feeding because they'll have not eaten a ton over the last couple of weeks while they're going through the spawn process, whereas walleye in most places should have taken care of that because they're more of a, you know, upper 40s, close to the 50-degree waters when they tend to spawn. And, of course, that's a lot of your lake inlets or whatnot if you have, you know, little rivers or creeks that flow into them. But you should have success in those larger lakes, you know, if you're talking, you know, your big eight, kind of as Minnesota calls it, with your Lake Winnebagoche and your Mille Lacs and your Otter Tails and Lake of the Woods and whatnot. Those larger lakes like that are a little bit deeper, they're closer to probably that 50-ish degree, 51, you know, something to that, a couple, 3 to 5, maybe 6 degrees behind, just because you think about it. I mean, if you're going to warm up a bowl of soup versus a, you know, full Tupperware container, like a soup, or a cup versus a bowl, it takes longer to warm up, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's probably the simplest way to explain it, but yeah, I mean, you're starting to get into what will be a great couple weeks of fishing, because everything will be within the next 7 to 10 days post-spawn, and they'll be looking to try and put on a little bit of weight or feed or whatever you want to say for it here in the coming days before it gets super hot. The water really warms up and, like you had mentioned, pushes them deep. And with the light winter that we had, and by light winter, I mean lack of snow cover, there wasn't as much die-off with the weed structures around a lot of lakes locally.
Okay,
so that's something to be aware of for recreational fishermen, even for those who enjoy to go tubing, jet skiing, you know, those types of things, where, you know, usually when you're thinking, man, I don't need to wait until, you know, middle of July before that weed growth gets real high. It may come earlier June this year just because some of those did not die off or cut back from the winter months.
Well, if it didn't die off or get cut back due to the cold this winter or lack thereof, I mean, that could be, especially with a week like this, that could really get some of those weeds and stuff like that.
Oh, very much so. Yeah, once you get that heat and that, you know, the sunlight hits the water, that's going to help the growth of all that vegetation below the water just as much as it does above the water, like your lawns and your, you know, your different fields and things of those. I mean, of course, for farmers that are planting now, it starts the growing season for them.
Yeah, and Mr. Kinzer, he was just like, we get some temperatures in the 80s, that's really going to kickstart those lawns, and sure as heck it did. So
I mean, this is the type of weather, as Mr. Kinzler said last week, you know, tomato growers love.
Oh, absolutely.
Because for whatever reason, there are many crops that enjoy warm, but when it gets to be scorching hot, and I think to myself, it's a danger to life to go outside, tomatoes go, oh, it's a nice day out.
Well, my wife yesterday, she's like, aren't you going to go outside? It's nice out. I'm like, no, it's hot. And she went outside, was fiddling with some of her plants, and of course she comes in at one point after being outside for a while. I was like, oh, it's kind of hot outside. And I'm like, yeah, that's why I did not participate
in
your gardening.
You can tell that she grew up in the southern portion and we were Midwesterners, because she would have been horrified to see how many shorts and no tarps on there were. And I was not the only one block.
No, I would think not.
It's the simplest way to put it.
Yep.
So it was a very eventful weekend for the development. It was great for those who are putting some of their annual landscaping in and whatnot, but it was really nice, especially after we got that little bit of rain on Friday night.
Yeah.
It had dried up by Saturday morning, and it seemed like everybody was able to go out and enjoy themselves. And one of the neighbors even had to bring out for the kids to bounce an inflatable bouncy castle that they have accessible, which I did not know that we had that kind of swagger in our neighborhood.
Oh, yeah.
So that's tip of the cap to those guys.
I can only hope they had it created some shade for them as well, and maybe that was watered down because that would have been awfully hot to be bounced around a bounce house yesterday.
Oh, gosh, yeah. I did not partake in it.
Yeah.
I was not invited to.
Well,
also, I don't know if there might have been a weight capacity that looked like. It was a smaller one.
Well, I mean, sometimes it's
still enjoyable for the youth.
Sometimes it's up to 200 pounds, so I'm just saying.
Yeah, I'm not in ninth grade anymore.
All right, we're going to check into the newsroom with Jim Miller, and then we'll have your WDAY sports update. 517, let's take a quick look at the wide world of sports. I know, James, you got a chance to check out the Red Hawks. I was keeping tabs on hockey and basketball over the weekend, and a couple of series have not really been super exciting in the NBA and NHL playoffs if you're not a fan of the teams that are winning.
Yeah, exactly. To this point, for the Fargo-Moorhead Redhawks, they had an off day on Monday to just enjoy themselves, hang out, but they welcome Lake Country, the Dockhounds, to Newman Outdoor Field for a midweek series that will begin tonight. So it's a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday series. All three games will have a 7:02 first pitch. They're all evening bouts, which is nice with the warmer weather we have this week also for those who have school for one more week or those who have work and obligations, of course, of everyday life to hopefully get to the ballpark in the evening hours, especially for kids that are just starting their summer vacations. So those three bouts will all be 7:02 this week, beginning tonight at 7:02 at Newman Outdoor Field. The Redhawks are 5-5 fresh off of that off day, salvaging the final game of that last series against Kane County, the Cougars, on Sunday. Once they wrap up that series this weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, they're actually down in Sioux Falls taking on the Canaries. For the Minnesota Twins, it was a Memorial Day matinee against the Chicago White Sox. The Twins had swept the Red Sox in Boston for the first time since 1994. Over the weekend, they go to Chicago. The first batter of the game gets out. Brooks Lee comes up in the two spot, hits a solo home run, his sixth of the year. The Twins are living the high life, as some would say, only to give up a solo home run in the bottom half of the first, a two-run homer in the second. They're down 3-1, but never fear, the Twins had eight runners on base that they stranded, going 1-for-7 with runners in scoring position. The one base hit they had with a runner in scoring position, they tried to score, and they got thrown out by an outfield assist from a White Sox corner outfielder. So, with all that being said, the Twins fall 3-1 in that Memorial Day matchup to the Chicago White Sox. Zebby Matthews surrendered all three of those runs over six innings. A solid start for him, but he was tagged with the loss. The Twins dropped to 26-28. They continue this four-game bout against the Sox in Chicago tonight at 6:40 on Twins TV with Joe Ryan scheduled to be on the bump for Minnesota. Sean Burke countering for the White Sox. With North Dakota high school state baseball and softball tournaments, they actually begin this week. So we'll keep you updated on those as we...
The conference ones just got done.
Yeah, conference tournaments had just gotten done, and so beginning on Thursday, we will have those Class A and B tournaments for both baseball and softball within the state of North Dakota.
I do know that because my neighbor has been involved with West Fargo baseball for some time since his son was in playing. I believe the West Fargo Packers won the EDC boys tournament.
Yep.
And I believe West Fargo Horse won the girls softball tournament, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm, yep. So, yep. So
they get automatic bids and top seeds in the ED or in the state tournament then, right?
Yes, yep, yep. In that state tournament that will begin on Thursday, late morning, about 11:30 a.m. is when the schedule
starts.
Where's
that located at this time?
Minot.
Ah, okay.
Yep, right. Yep. So
I can't remember if they've had it in West Fargo before because I got Young Field over there, which is a nice field for high school baseball.
Yep, yep. Well, actually, let me make sure. They got a couple of different locations for the tournament, so I'll get those pulled up.
Yeah, no worries.
Make sure I'm on the right track. I believe one of them, though, for certain is in Minot. Here for this upcoming weekend. On the ice for the Stanley Cup playoffs, the Carolina Hurricanes walked off the Montreal Canadiens 3-2 last night to take a 2-1 series lead. Game number 4 will be in Montreal on Wednesday night on TNT. For the Western Conference Final, a turn of events has what I called the old and slow Vegas Golden Knights in the driver's seat, up 3-0 as they host the Colorado Avalanche tonight at 8 o'clock on ESPN. And the Avs went from what looked to be invincible
yeah.
to
Can I just say, though, that maybe...
I don't even know what else to say. It's just completely... I mean, they played such a tough physical series against the Wild. Cale Makar, yep. Nate MacKinnon have been banged up, and Vegas has been able to turn that series completely on its head because of whether it was... some injuries from a sustained a separate series.
Abs have lost leads. They were up 1-0 going into game third period in game two. They lose that one 3-1 after an empty netter at the end. Then this weekend, the game against Colorado in Vegas, Colorado got off to a 3-0 first period lead. They end up losing, I believe, it was 5-3 after they had an empty netter on the end. And I tell you what, if it was anybody else besides Vegas, maybe it would be a really cool story. Because if you really look at their record, they had 39 wins on the year. So they didn't even win half their games, either lost or lost in overtime or a shootout. And if it was anybody else, you'd be like, if it was the Ducks or the San Jose Sharks or, Edmonton, even if they had a losing record, it would be at least somewhat, it'd be a cool story because here's a team that's a plucky underdog. And they're, leading the Western Conference Finals 3-0. But it's Vegas. And I think in their short lifetime of their franchise, I think they've maybe missed the playoffs once. And they've already been in the Stanley Cup Finals, I think, twice. They've won it once themselves. Mm-hmm. And you're like, really? Vegas again? I mean, come on. I mean, and like you said, old and slow, and yet here they are taking care of Colorado. And
A couple of additions have really helped them out. For the NBA's postseason, the respective conference finals, the New York Knicks crushed the Cavaliers. Cleveland looked like they had already booked their tickets to vacation. They wanted to go to Cancun.
Defense was optional for that
130
team.
130-93 was the final in that one. The Knicks, after trailing the Hawks 2-1 in the Eastern Conference's opening round, they've now won 11 straight playoff games, and they're awaiting the winner of the Spurs-Thunder series in the NBA Finals.
They're playing their best basketball of the year. You know, good for Karl Anthony Towns. I do like Jalen Brunson and a bunch of those guys on the team. Granted, the front of the jersey says Knicks. I could do without that, but... I think
it's the first trip to the finals since 1999.
I think it's pretty interesting with those guys playing well. And then, of course, over on the other conference, we got a battle over there.
You do. You do indeed. And that'll be game number 5 tonight in Oklahoma City as the Thunder hosts the San Antonio Spurs. 7:30 on NBC, that best-of-7 series tied up at a pair of games apiece. And tonight, primetime sports at 6:30, we'll get you ready to rock and roll as... We're 2.5 weeks away from my eventful weekend off.
Jeez.
Down to the city of Omaha, where we will golf, eat great food, and dare I say, take part in the new trend of tarps off in the ballpark.
That's not this coming week. It's the weekend after that, right?
It'll be 2 weeks from Friday.
Ah.
It'll be the 12th. The 12th of June.
That's right.
The regionals for college baseball will begin this upcoming weekend. South Dakota State, the lone Summit League school to make it. They were the 4 seed in a 4-team bracket as well within the Summit, defeated top seed Oral Roberts to punch their ticket to the tournament. The Gophers are out, but UCLA is 51-6. They're the consensus number one team in the country. Their shortstop is the projected number one overall pick in the upcoming MLB
in July
and
or whatever.
Georgia Tech has not one, but two players hitting over 400.
What?
Including their catcher, who's hitting 410. One of their other players is hitting a 430 currently, and he's not even leading the nation in hitting, believe it or not. Absolute mayhem. It is going to be a blast of a tournament for the Women's College World Series. That'll actually take place beginning this Thursday.
Yeah.
As there's 8 teams remaining that won their super regionals. That's Tech for the women. It'll be in the softball World Series. It's Texas, Tennessee, Mississippi State, Texas Tech, Alabama with Abby Dukeshire, Nebraska, UCLA, and Arkansas, as some call it. Others call it Arkansas.
Big name schools there that are all in the final
It is.
Eight.
It very much is. It's funny in the women's tournament. It tends to really be those blue blood, those true power type programs. And don't get me wrong, for the men it is as well, but it seems as though every year there's one, maybe a second team that'll squeak in that are not a traditional power, like, for example, Oral Roberts a couple years ago. I understand Coastal Carolina's won a natty in the last 15 or so years. They'll squeak in. There's the smaller schools in California, like your UC Irvine's and things of those sorts, but... It's gonna be a fun bracket, a double elimination regional that begins this upcoming late week for baseball. For softball, it's down to eight, and they're going to find out a national champion somewhere between the 4th and the 5th of June, when depending on if they go the distance in that best of three championship.
Just a quick question to end this segment then, James. UCLA and Georgia Tech, you mentioned as two teams kind of looking like they're...
Yep.
Could be good bets to get to the College World Series. I mean, as much as they are blue bloods as far as, you know, they're in the Power Four conference, et cetera, but UCLA and Georgia Tech, I mean, that's not usually universities I really associate with being head and shoulders above everybody else in baseball.
It comes and goes a bit, because both UCLA and Georgia Tech, they swept the regular season titles in the Big Ten and ACC, and also the conference tournament titles.
Oh.
It's the first time Georgia Tech's won the ACC tournament since it was early 2010s, 2013, I believe, 2012. In there for UCLA, they were at the College World Series last season. I had a chance to watch their shortstop. Oh. What is it? I'm going to pronounce it wrong. Kowalski,
okay,
or something along those lines.
Yeah.
And he is absolutely terrific.
Hmm.
And so having a chance to watch him was a blast. But you'll have other traditional big name schools. You know, your North Carolina's, your Texas, Florida, Georgia's. Those schools of the world. Florida State is the 10 seed national. So yeah, they're going to host a regional for I believe it's a record 38th time. If I remember correctly,
they've got a good baseball program. Florida's, you know, I mean, there's a lot of baseball schools that continue to do well. A lot of times, it's places farther south that have better weather and they get more chances to get out there.
Well, they can play 12 months a year versus 7 months a year. It's very helpful for your development and production.
I mean, high school baseball in North Dakota, you basically got to get an entire season in about 6 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, it's completely different when you're able to play in the ballpark for 10 months a year versus 4 months of the year you're playing in a gymnasium or what they call a bubble, which a normal routine pop-up would put a hole in the roof.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, that's funny. All right, 5:28. We're going to check in now with ABC for your national news. We come back, a song of the morning and the question of the morning coming up. 5:35, Bonnie and friends coming to you from the Corwin Subaru studio. Corwin Subaru, family driven for over 100 years. Your Subaru journey starts here, but where it goes is up to you. Our email inbox brought to you by Glass Doctor Auto of Fargo Moorhead, and our phone lines brought to you by the Window and Door Store. They specialize in residential remodeling with professional installation. Better windows, better doors, WDStore.com. All right, your question of the morning, simple one. Getting back into the groove after a 3-day weekend that a lot of people had either plans out of town, obviously graduation for a lot of us, graduation parties for some. So a lot of different things going on. The question was simply, how was your long holiday weekend? We'll get to your response if you want to drop us how your weekend was. You can do it so on our Bonnie and Friends Facebook page. You can drop us an email, studio at WDAYradionow.com, on our Bonnie and Friends email inbox, brought to you by Glass Doctor Ottawa, Fargo Moorhead. Or you can drop us a call on our Window and Door Store phone line. So with all that being said, how was your holiday weekend? We'll get your responses after the song of the morn.
I'm afraid that's all we've got. just don't see it. He says it's perfect sense. You just can't get agreement in this present tense. We all talk a different language, talking in defense.
Say it loud.
Say it loud.
Say it clear.
Oh, say it clear.
You can be so
as well as you.
.542 on a Tuesday morning that feels like a Monday morning. So if you say, you know, good morning, it's a Monday, whatever, I'll let it slide today because, you know, it feels like a Monday. After a long weekend, you know, hopefully everybody got rested and recharged. I tell you what, James, I mean, it was just an extra day off. But I tell you what, having a three-day weekend, even though we had stuff going on this weekend in my house, it felt good to have that three-day weekend. It was a refreshing, to say the least. So I know you're looking forward to your boys' trip down to Omaha for a College World Series and all the adventures that go with that. So, I mean, it's always good to have that extra day off, and especially a day like yesterday to remember our veterans and those that have served. Obviously, Memorial Day, that's the one where we're remembering all those that have passed. And, of course, for me, it's a big time to reflect on one of the greatest generations we've ever had, World War II, and then everything they went through that war. So just a nice time to have a three-day weekend, right?
Yeah, it was. It was good weather. It was enjoyable and saw a lot of good things of people putting flowers on different sites, going to different, you know, whether it was local, state, national malls, things of those sorts, for to be able to pay their respects throughout the weekend. I know that there was multiple ceremonies, specifically yesterday, and those were all very encouraging to see. And there are many that have, you know, as the phrasing, you know, kind of goes, all gave some gave all. And and for those that gave all, this weekend is why we had the quote-unquote three-day weekend for us. And
absolutely. I mean, if
it's,
it wasn't...
It's, you can never overstate the importance of taking a moment to thank those who have served, who are currently serving, and those who will be, as well, especially the families of those who have fallen.
Yeah, absolutely. And just watching the documentaries, the recolored... black and white footage of World War II is just amazing. And one thing I saw, I think it was either Friday sometime or maybe it was Saturday morning. It was so well done. But that opening sequence on the beach in Normandy on Saving Private Ryan, probably is one of the more accurate depictions of D-Day when it comes to movies. And I know they've got a new one coming out this summer called Pressure with Brandon Fraser. There's a guy that was in Band of Brothers, and it's kind of the planning and the build up to D-Day. So I'm curious about that movie as well. But seeing that opening sequence there from Saving Private Ryan, and I think I can't remember if my dad was looking up this weekend that was 4,400 men that were lost just storming the beaches at Normandy. So just a remarkable generation, and to imagine. You know, these guys, 18 to 21 years old, predominantly going over there trying to fight for their country. Just an amazing story. Question of the morn, how was your long holiday weekend? That's the big question. Doug said relaxing, made a few planter boxes for the wife, and got some yard work and some wind therapy in, so obviously got out on the bike, so that's always a great weekend. Mark said it was great honoring the veterans. Crash, he worked. He was trying to sell couches and whatnot, so he was doing that. Charles, unfortunately, he was sick with pneumonia, so hopefully he's feeling better because, I mean, we heard recently, obviously, the race car driver, Kyle Busch, passed away due to complications from pneumonia, and then he got sepsis, which is a very serious infection. Dave said he's semi-retired, so it was nice. And, well, aren't we all semi-retired? Dean just shows a picture of his Speedos once again. So I know Dean was out at the lakes enjoying the warm weather, but it was beyond warm weather. It was hot out. But, you know, there's those of us that like it hot, and so he enjoyed it. So that's our question. If you want to drop us an email, put your response on our Facebook page. How was your long holiday weekend? Jay Stemmen and Big Game James McCarty here this morning on Bonnie and Friends, coming to you from the Corwin Subaru Studio. You want to drop us that email, let us know how your weekend was. You can email us at the Glass Doctor Auto of Fargo Moorhead inbox. It's locally owned, and they work with all insurance companies. Glass Doctor Auto of Fargo Moorhead. Ask them about their windshield plan. We got a quick call before we go to break. We got Mike in Northwood. Mike, good morning. How was your weekend?
Oh, kind of a little busy. I was at the bar working Saturday, and Sunday and Monday I put in 27 hours at a golf course.
Was the golf course pretty busy, though? I mean, it was a lot of people out there golfing in the heat?
Oh, yeah. Sunday was crazy. Yesterday was a good day, too, even though the heat. We stayed good and steady.
I would say that the cart girls or whoever's slinging drinks on the golf course probably had a pretty good day with how hot it was.
Well, our course is owned by the park district, so you can bring your own drinks on, but we can't sell any.
Ah, well, they might have stocked up before they went out there, right, at the local establishment?
Oh, yeah, they know that, and I just tell everybody, I got one rule: the river is not a garbage can.
There you go.
And that, but no, it was a good weekend. Just long day. I thought I only had part of the day yesterday.
Yeah.
One of my girls called in sick. Well, didn't call in sick. Her grandma got rushed to the hospital the night before. And
I thought maybe she was just sick of working.
Well, no, she's good. She's a good worker.
Yeah. Well, that sounds like it was
fun.
Good. Well, it sounds like it was a busy weekend. Kept you out of trouble for once, so that's always good. So that way, Lonnie didn't have to keep you in line.
That's the main thing. And it's like, hey, I made money instead of spending it stupidly.
That's always a good start there if you can make money and not lose it in any way, shape, or form. Well, good to hear. Mike, I hope you had a great weekend and you can have a great day today.
Hey, you guys also, and we'll talk again real soon.
All right. Thanks, Mike. All right, it is 5:48. We're going to check in with your national news and sports from ABC. 5:53 on a Tuesday morning. Jason alongside Big Game James McCarty here on Bonnie and Friends. Getting you through a Tuesday that is very Monday-ish, to say the least. And today's question of the morning was, how was your long holiday weekend? And I'm trying to see if Dino's in the studio yet, because I'm expecting him.
No, that light is not on.
It's not on. He's supposed to be in today. Otherwise,
there's a light turning on. Or is it Alex in the other
station?
I think
it's Alex getting ready.
No, there it is. I see him.
Well, thank goodness.
I see his hat and his goggles on.
We got to see how bad he's sunburned today after being out at the beach all day yesterday.
See, look at that. He's bright-eyed. He's bushy-tailed. He's ready to go 10 minutes early.
I think he's just dragging himself in, to be honest. I'm not so sure about bright-eyed and bushy-tailed.
Hey, he's upright. That's a win.
There's that, yeah. What do we got coming up today? Kind of a quiet day, you might say, getting back into the flow of things. All we have today is we're going to have Ag Director Bridge Riedel. She'll join us about 7:20.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. Only her.
Only her. That's all we need.
Yep,
exactly. She's going to be covering hours 7 o'clock through 8:30. We'll be off. No, maybe not. That's probably too much. Too much, Bridget.
You're trying to pick a poison right now, and I don't think it's working.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, only her, and now you're getting too much of.
Exactly.
Of,
well, that's if she is on.
You went from one extreme to the other, and you're going to have to pay for both.
That's if she was hosting the show from 7 to 8:30. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's exactly my point, though.
Bridget does come in small doses. It's a height joke.
I'm not getting involved in that.
There's a height requirement. I barely met it. Everybody's got to be, 5'8 or under, I guess. Right?
Now, what's wrong with that?
Just asking. Seems like there's a height requirement. I mean, we got to have big personality.
On this show, it's nice. One of the few things in life where I'm in the upper echelon of height.
You're in out of the five of us, 1, 2, 3... about five of us that are on the show regularly, you're towards the top end of the height scale, so you feel pretty good.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, feels great.
It feels awesome. Speaking of Bridget Riedel, it's time to check in with her and see what she's up to today. Last little short segment here in hour number one on your Tuesday after the long Memorial Day weekend. Jay Stemmen and Big Game James McCarty here on Bonnie and Friends, coming to you live from the Subaru Corwin Subaru Studio, if I get my words in the right order. Hope you guys had a good weekend this weekend. I know it was good for me. Big events, life events. Now I just got to try and get the next event, which would be my youngest trying to get her getting her a job. So that's fun. Do you want to do this, this, or this? What are you interested in? I don't know. As long as I don't have to talk to customers. That's all she cares about.
Yeah. Life's going to hit her like a brick wall running full speed here in a minute. She'll realize people aren't that bad most of the time.
No, she's just so bashful. It's some ways you might say it's cute. It's, but she's just always kind of been that way. And, you just hope that, she kind of comes out of her shell a little bit, especially when needed, because, It's a skill, I guess you might say, talking to random strangers. I know that there's times when you got to go up and introduce yourself and stuff. It's uncomfortable, but, it's part of life. Today is, James, National Cherry Dessert Day, National Blueberry Cheesecake Day, National Paper Airplane Day, so you can make one of those later. It's International Dracula Day, and then it's also World Redhead Day. You have any close redheads in your immediate circle of friends?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, shout out to them today.
You can shout them out if you want.
That's all right.
He's got to earn it for me.
Yeah. Couple of birthdays today. Matt Stone, half of the duo that brought you South Park. He's 55. you probably don't remember her, but Zola Budd, she's a South African runner. I can't remember if she was one that ran barefooted or not. She turned 60. Lenny Kravitz, any idea how old Lenny is today? It's a little bit surprising because he looks good for his age.
I'm going to say like 72.
Whoa, dude.
What?
He's only 62. Ouch.
When
man.
You say looks good for his age, I'm assuming he's way older than I.
No, he could look good for his age if he's 50. You never know. Helen Bonham Carter, she's an actress. She's 60. Somebody from General Hospital, don't know them. Mr. Monday Night Football, Hank Williams Jr., how old?
He's got to be 70s.
Yeah.
74.
77. Stevie Nicks is 78. And that's majority of the birthdays today. It is 6 o'clock. We are WDAY Fargo. We'll head into the newsroom with Jim Miller. 602 joining us now to let us know how that forecast is going to look is our chief meteorologist, Dean Wysocki. Dino, how was your long weekend?
It was nice. It was the weather was perfect, I thought. I know some would say it was too hot, but it was.
I don't know. I saw the picture of you and your lovely girlfriend, Christy, out at the beach. It looked hot.
It was hot. Just it was hot, but it was hot. It was a dry heat.
Yeah. If you weren't outside, you can't say that. Were you outside?
Oh yeah, we're sitting. Yeah,
oh, yeah, he was halfway outside.
Yeah,
okay,
it was beautiful. Yeah, I.
So how was the dry heat then?
Dry heat was good. Hey, oh. You know our winters are long enough. It's nice.
Sure,
to get
we're
the two summer.
Different
it's
people.
Nice
he and I.
It's in the place.
My daughter's just like I like winter better, and I'm like I know.
No way. Oh man.
You know, so here's
you choose the, to live up north for a reason. Yeah. It's not for the 95 degree days.
Here's the most ridiculous thing that my now high school graduate said to me this weekend, which I thought was kind of funny. So she gets ready. Her friend around the corner in our neighborhood is having a grad party. It's one of her good friends, so she was going to go over to it. She just gets out of the shower, right? She's like, it's really hot out. I don't want to sweat when I walk over there. Can you just give me a ride over there? I'm like, it's right around the corner. And, of course, my comment to her is, well, maybe if you didn't wear a sweatshirt and sweatpants all the time, you wouldn't be hot.
That would solve it.
But that's her dress. That is what she does. That's what she's comfortable in. So I'm just like, I'm sorry, honey. No. And so she didn't get a ride over. She did manage to walk there and walk back. So that was fine.
And she made it.
Exactly.
Wow, that's amazing.
But I mean,
no sleeves, and I was wearing shorts all weekend. I was still hot as all get out.
I know. I was like, I'm not.
If I wore pants or a sweatshirt or anything, you guys would have to peel me off the sidewalk.
It was super hot. I managed to not go outside because it was too hot. My wife's like, it's nice out. Come outside. And I'm like, nope. And then she was outside fiddling with her garden stuff, her plants. And then she's like, oh, it's so hot out. I'm like, yeah, that's why I stayed inside.
Well, I mean, it was the first stretch of hot weather we've had. We've had a day here, a day there, but now we are in a stretch of, we've got what's called a blocking pattern in the upper levels of the atmosphere. And when that happens, we don't get a lot of movement with the air aloft, and that means you're kind of stuck. What you see is what you get. So the hot weather, it's going to be with us all week long, with temperatures well above normal. You gonna let me do weather?
No, I was just gonna ask a question because I saw it on the news. We got close to a record high yesterday, did we not?
We were a couple degrees away. Yeah. Now today, I think we're going to be. I think we're going to tie the record. The record today. Hey, if it's this hot, you might as well put it down in the record books.
Yeah,
right?
Totally.
Yeah, record high for today is 93, set back in 2018.
Oh,
yeah. Well, you would never make it in Arizona.
Dude, I could.
Why
barely
do you think I moved from Arizona? Yeah. Because Arizona in the summertime is like here in the wintertime. You go from your house to a vehicle into work, and you go to do the same thing. You stay out of the heat because otherwise, a pasty Midwesterner like myself, I would melt.
My favorite,
literally.
My favorite pastimes are deer hunting in November and ice fishing in December. I don't do well in warm.
Well,
I am not cold blooded.
Then for this week, I suggest you go further north. Is your passport current?
Okay, partially here because I'm real far north, but I'm not in Canada.
Well,
that's a stipulation I have. North, but not Canada.
I got to get mine renewed, Dino. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, we're looking for a high today right around 93, which would tie the record back in 2018. And winds similar to yesterday, east-southeast, about 10 to 15. Then tonight, We could see a few storms developing. There's going to be a front that's going to try and meander its way into our area, and moisture pulling in from the south. That will trigger off a few isolated storms after about 6 o'clock tonight. And those will go into the overnight hours. Again, scattered. But some of those, if they do develop, especially during the evening hours, could be on the stronger side. So we'll keep a close eye on that. We'll bottom out in the low 60s tonight. And then tomorrow, rinse and repeat, upper 80s to near 90. With the heating of the day, we could see a few scattered storms develop. But again, nothing widespread, with upper 80s and southeast winds 5 to 15. And then the rest of the week does look hot, and it looks mainly dry as well. But what about the upcoming weekend? Can we have back-to-back hot weekends?
Ooh.
Well, we'll have those details for you coming up right after the bottom of the hour.
I will say, Dean, I looked at your forecast prior to you getting in and updating it. This is probably just the dumbest question, but what was the reasoning to drop the high by 1 degree for today? Is there anything particular happening that caused you to drop it just a degree?
If we get those evening storms to develop,
okay.
You get those building cumulonimbus clouds and could lose a little bit of heat with that, with the sun being kind of obscured, if you will.
You added a few degrees to the end of the
Week.
End sure of the did. Week and into
See,
the new weekend.
See, if I steal one from earlier in the week, I have to give it back at the end of the week, because I don't want you guys upset.
Well, give it to somebody else, somebody else in need that needs some degrees. You can go give it to them.
I'll work on that.
All right. Thank you, Nino.
You got it.
6:07, time to check in for your national news update from ABC, and when we return, a sports update from Big Game James McCarty. 6:12, time for a check on the wide world of sports with Big Game James McCarty.
On the diamond, Monday afternoon, a Memorial Day matchup for the Twins in Chicago against a division foe in the White Sox. Brooks Lee said, let's get a lead. It's the top of the first inning. We're up 1-0, his sixth home run of the year. The Twins will give up two home runs between the bottom of the first and bottom of the second. And after that, it was a good old-fashioned pitcher's duel stalemate. The Twins fall to the White Sox 3-1, game one of that four-game set. Zebby Matthews gave up all three runs over six innings of work. He was tagged to the loss. The Twins drop to a record of 26-28 on the season. They will continue their series tonight at 6:40 on Twins TV with Joe Ryan on the mound for Minnesota. And oddly enough, 53 games into the year for Chicago, 54 for the Twins. The Twins are in third place in the division, a game and a half back of second place Chicago. They are five games behind Cleveland, the division leaders, though. Yes. Yeah, the White Sox in second place. They are above 500 after that win yesterday, 27-26. And I told the fellow White Sox fans I know in my personal life, I said, all you guys are doing are negatively affecting your draft stock for next year.
There's that.
I said, they're lucky that the Twins want to win less than the White Sox want to lose right now. That is the only reason they won yesterday.
Yep.
Because they want to lose less than the Twins want to win. That is the only way to put it. 6:40 tonight, Twins TV. You can watch Joe Ryan, the Twins ace, go out there and try and have a solid outing. For the Fargo-Moorhead Redhawks, they had an off day on Monday. Now they welcome in the Lake Country Dockhounds to Newman Outdoor Field for a three-game midweek set. All games in that series will have a 7:02 first pitch, including tonight's series opener. The Redhawks are 5-5 on the young season. For the North Dakota High School State Baseball and Softball Tournaments, those will begin on Thursday. For the respective Class A tournaments, they're in Minot. The Class B tournaments are in Jamestown. And so you have locally for Class A baseball, you have West Fargo High, Fargo South, West Fargo Horace, and West Fargo Cheyenne are your four teams out of the East that are in that tournament. Locally for Class B, you have Kindred, Thompson, Park River are kind of your localish type of teams to us here on this eastern portion of the state. For Class A softball, the four teams out of the East that are being represented, of course, are EDC tournament champion West Fargo Horace. You also have West Fargo High, Shanley, and Fargo Davies. In the Class B bracket, you have Central Cass, the top overall seed. You have Thompson, the 5 seed, who will battle 4 seed to Beulah. But, of course, those Kindred also non-seeded, and they made the tournament themselves. So that all gets underway, though. 11 a.m. for softball, 11:30 for baseball between Minot and Jamestown. But that will be on Thursday, late morning into the afternoon and evening hours. We'll keep you posted on that tournament throughout the rest of the week into the weekend when we crown four state champions, two in softball, two in baseball. The Stanley Cup playoff saw the Carolina Hurricanes take out the Montreal Canadiens 3-2 in overtime last night, and that would be a 2-1 series lead now for the Hurricanes. Game number four will remain in Montreal on Wednesday evening. For the Western Conference Final, will it be over or will it be prolonged tonight? Great question. We're going to find out beginning at 8 o'clock on ESPN when Vegas hosts Colorado, because the Golden Knights have turned the series on its head. 3-0, they have the lead in that best of seven series. In the NBA postseason, the New York Knicks said, you know what, we're not going to play with our food like we have for the last three decades. 130-93 as they complete the sweep of the Cavs, and that ballgame was in Cleveland. The Knicks, for the first time since 1999, off to the NBA Finals, awaiting the winner of the Oklahoma City and San Antonio series, whereas Game 5 tonight will have the Thunder hosting the Spurs at 7:30 on NBC. And, of course, the winner of that one will have the lead in the series. It's currently tied up at 2-apiece. And tonight, primetime sports at 6:30. We'll get you ready to rock and roll as we enter a great week here on the sports docket.
I tell you what, it's a little bit disappointing to have these four conference series in the NBA and NHL and only have two of them be competitive, although it works out I guess schedule-wise, because last night we had that Montreal-Carolina hockey series, so that's a good series, you know, an overtime win last night. Now tonight we'll have Oklahoma City and San Antonio in basketball, so as far as I'm sure the major networks that are covering these series, I'm sure they're hoping that those two series continue to go, you know, all seven games, and that the finals will be close, because right now it's looking like, you know, Knicks going to be sitting around potentially for a week, and Vegas might end up doing the same thing as well. So I'm kind of curious how Vegas matches up against Montreal or Carolina in the NHL Stanley Cup Finals. But, you know, Vegas, one win away from making it back there for a third time in, what, nine seasons is all? So it must be rough being a Vegas Golden Knights
fan.
Yeah,
in the last decade. Yeah, in the decade of existence, yeah.
Yeah, so... All right, a couple things before we head to break here. Obviously, Flatland Music Flashback coming up at about 6:56. That's brought to you by Flatland Guitar, a music store built around and dedicated to quality guitar repairs. Let's see, it was on this date in 1977. This group went to number one with this song. It was the band's only number one song, and it was named because how many cuts and patches were contained in the original studio tape. So that's a little bit interesting. And then, of course, obviously, we just got back from our long Memorial Day weekend. So hopefully you guys had a great weekend. Leinenkugel's Orange Shandy is back by popular demand. It's a summer seasonal. It's perfect for this not even warm weather, the hot weather, being great food. Oranges bring a bright citrus flavor to complement Liney's traditional wheat beer, just what you need to stay on the brighter side of the season. Try pairing it with tropical flavors of coconut shrimp or mango lime salsa. You're going to love it. You can find this Orange Summer Shandy by Leinenkugel's at your local retail stores in our FM listening area. So remember, while you're enjoying your weekend or any time of the week, remember when you tip back a beverage, salute and give thanks to those who serve our military and those first responders out there for us every single day. This message is brought to you by Beverage Wholesalers in Fargo. A weird news story coming up next. A woman lost her life, and you won't believe how she passed away. So we'll talk about that next right here on Bonnie and Friends. Bonnie and Friends coming to you live from the Corwin Subaru Studio. Subaru's symmetrical all-wheel drive is a game changer for our weather up here in the upper Midwest. While the brand's used systems that only kick in after you start sliding, Subaru engineers their all-wheel drive to be always on and always balanced. Come experience the go-anywhere confidence firsthand at Corwin Subaru in Moorhead or online at CorwinSubaru.com. And as we get into full swing here this week, James and I are here as always, and I know we've mentioned it several times, but James, you got to go, I would assume, Got to go there again, once again, to Quarts and Pints this past weekend to get that pickleball in.
Yes, sir. I was there. I rolled up right after church. So I got there about 10:30 on Sunday morning.
Okay.
A little bit light on the traffic. I would imagine a lot of that has to do with the Memorial Day weekend, yeah, with mm-hmm. families at the lake specifically, because the lakes, when I got there on Sunday evening, were pretty darn busy still for starters. And also, I remember two weekends ago on Sunday after church when we had went, the parking lot was about half full at Quarts and Pints.
Yeah.
So I think, yeah, just with it being a quote-unquote holiday and a long weekend, I think it led to a little bit less foot traffic, and it made it easier to find a court for us.
Well, there you go. I mean, they've got, like 15 courts in there.
They do, but it is
professionally done. I mean,
it was starting to pick up about the time we were rolling out at noon.
It's not like they took that existing place and just threw some tape down and marked off some courts. No, they've got courts all done specifically for pickleball. They've got a great staff there. If you want anything equipment-wise, they'll help you out. They'll teach you how to play. But they've got some great, I mean, I'm talking great food that we've had a chance to sample. We've tried the Cuban sandwich, the prime rib Frenchie. They've got sweet potato fries with this marshmallow fluff dip. They've got some good salads there if you want to do a salad. They've got pizza that's cooked in a pizza oven brought over from Italy. And they've got some really great specials there as well. Monday, Wednesday, Friday, they've got all-you-can-eat pizza buffet. It includes soup, salad, and all the pizza with a beverage for only $12.99. On Thursdays, they got a burger basket deal for $12.99. Then the thing we got to try the last time was the all-you-can-eat tacos on Tuesday for $12.99. And this isn't just some kind of thrown-together taco bar. This is handmade tacos for you by their staff. We bring them out three at a time, and you can eat as many as you want. So you might only need three. You might want maybe five or six. I'm just saying they're awfully, awfully good, and they can get beef, pork, or chicken tacos there, so your choice, and then they're all really, really delicious. Happy hour, 4 to 6 p.m. on weekdays. Tons of half-price apps. They've also got specials on domestic taps, domestic pounders, and rails for just $4. They've got a tap wall with 48 rotating taps for beers, ciders, and ales. They've even added live music now on Thursdays from 6 to 9, trivia on Tuesday beginning at 7. They got a space that you can either have your own party and rent it there. They've got a cornhole that you can just go there and play while you're getting something to eat and drink. And you know what? If you got friends that have never played pickleball before, they'll, like I said, they'll teach you how to play. They're located at 2605 8th Street South in Moorhead. It's the first exit in Moorhead and north of I-94. If you want to find out more information, just go to their website, pickle.fun. All right. You see these stories a lot of times, James, and I know there's the whole Darwin Award things where people are doing dumb stuff and they lose their life after doing something dumb, and that makes sense. But there was a woman that passed away in South Carolina over Memorial Day weekend, and it's kind of amazing what happened. The headline of the article simply is "Woman Killed by Patio Umbrella While Dining at a South Carolina Restaurant." I mean, I don't know I've ever seen a headline like that before. Now, I know from my own personal experience, the first table we had for our deck, we bought it with an umbrella, and the umbrella wasn't secured. It wasn't as tight as it could be. We had a gust of wind, and that umbrella, you know, blew upwards, that updraft, and it took it out of the holder, the weighted holder there, and it came down, the tip of it came down on our table, which was a glass table, boom, mm-hmm. shattered that whole mm-hmm. thing. And thankfully, we haven't had that happen since then, but those umbrellas that can catch that wind up underneath it, and they'll pop it right out of that holder, and then you got to watch out for a flying umbrella. Well, this woman was struck by a patio umbrella during strong winds at a lakeside South Carolina restaurant, the woman and her husband were just sitting there dining when a sudden strong wind blew an umbrella up from a table, and it struck the woman in the head and neck area, and first responders found the woman unresponsive with lacerations to her head and neck, and she was pronounced dead on the scene. And I can't imagine anything like that happen. You're just out trying to have a nice, you know, brunch or a nice lunch at a restaurant there, in South Carolina than just a gust of wind. And I mean, it kind of goes to that old saying, is that you never know when your time is up. And I wouldn't know how the husband would respond to something like that after seeing something like that. I mean, just with the absolute randomness of it all.
Well, it's just an unfortunate accidental, you know, freak accident.
Absolutely. And it is.
Yeah. I mean, you don't ever anticipate something like that. So I can't fully fathom how the reaction would be and kind of how the tensions would rise in that, or you know, mm-hmm. the urgency would rise in that, in a situation like that. And just, hope that there's a way to learn from that isolated incident and prevent something from the future, whether it's some type of, you know, safeguard that you put that clamps onto the, you know, the handle or the pole that goes underneath the table so that it doesn't allow it to pull out of completely without being unlocked or loosened or something of that sort. So, I mean, that's just all you can hope for in something like that when you hear of a freak accident like that.
Yeah, I mean, otherwise, I mean, what is the restaurant going to take measures to build more of an awning over their outdoor patio or something more stable and not use umbrellas anymore? I mean, like you said, it's just an absolute freak accident. I mean, I don't know that, you know, you need to make significant changes to your restaurant because the odds of this happening, I mean, 1 in 100 million, maybe even more so than that. I mean, I don't think I've ever heard of anybody having a life or death situation with a patio umbrella, but I mean, here we are. I mean, it literally happened. So, I mean, I guess crazier things have happened is what they always say.
That's incredibly unfortunate.
Yep, absolutely. It is 6:30 a.m. on a Tuesday morning. We're going to head into the newsroom with Jim Miller. 6:32, awaiting the one and only chief meteorologist, Dean Mysaki, to come into the studio to let us know how that weekend forecast is looking. But obviously today and heading into the rest of the week, it's going to be a warm one, to say the least. And I'm almost already hoping that we'll see some relief by the weekend. But I don't know. Dino?
Yeah.
Talk about the heat this week. I mean, you took it a couple downgraded a day, a couple degrees the next 2 days, but then all of a sudden you put those degrees at the end of the week. So what are you looking for towards the end
of the week? Well, it's going to be a hot week, period. Every day is going to be hot, a couple degrees here, a couple degrees there, outside of 90 degrees. So it's going to be not a lot of precip in the forecast for this week, but we will have a couple of chances for storms, and if you do get caught under one of those, you could get some locally heavy rainfall, but I'm not looking for any organized, widespread areas of precip this week. Today, we're looking at temperatures currently in the 50s to near 60 across the area, so a nice mild start to the day, and winds are pretty light. Now, that will change as we head into the afternoon. We're going to see those temperatures shoot up into the low 90s. Our record is 93. I think we're going to tie that today with winds out of the east-southeast, 5 to 15. Now, after about 5 o'clock, with the heating of the day, we're going to have a weak front move in from the north, and that combined with a little moisture moving in from the south is going to trigger off some storms in the Eastern Valley and in the Lakes Country. So anything west of Valley City, probably not going to see anything at all. But in up and down the valley in the Lakes Country, could see some scattered storms after 5. And those will last into the early overnight hours with lows in the low 60s. And then as we head into Wednesday, partly cloudy, upper 80s. And then we're looking at right around 90 degrees for Thursday, Friday, into the upcoming weekend, upper 80s. Slight chance for storms west of the valley on Sunday, and a better chance that we see scattered storms into our area early next week as a cool front will swing on through. That could trigger off some stronger storms early next week. But all week long, upper 80s to low 90s, so that summer heat, baby, that's here to stay this week.
But what's the forecast, if you will, for like the month of June? Are we going to see mid to upper 80s and low 90s most of the month?
If you would like to know what the month of June looks like, we do have our new LRC pocket calendars that just came out.
All right.
You can swing by the station and get it. We've got the rest of the outlook for June, July, August, and September on there, so you can kind of plan your vacations around when the weather's going to be kind of cruddy and when we're looking at some nicer weather as well.
Okay, good. Good to know. Get that while you can.
You got it.
All right. Thank you, Dino. All right, it is 6:35. We got to check on your national news from ABC coming up, and then we'll head to the American Ag Network in about 6:56. We'll have Flatland Music Flashback. It was on this date in 1984. This former backing singer for Stevie Wonder started a two-week run at number one with this song. We'll talk about that coming up in Flatland Music Flashback. And don't forget, today is Tuesday, so that means after your three-degree guarantee, we will have Name That Jingled sponsored by ZD. So make sure you stay around for that and have our phone number, which is our window and door store phone line, 701-293-9000. Window and door store, they specialize in residential remodeling with professional installation. Better windows, better doors, the WDStore.com. That'll be coming up at about, somewhere between 7:47 and 7:50. We'll have that Name That Jingle, a chance for you to win that $25 gift card to ZD's. So right now, ABC News and the American Ag Network, and back for a sports update from Big Game James McCarty. 6:37. And sorry for the no American Ag news there, so we'll just skip that. Jason, alongside Big Game James McCarty, that previous weather was brought to you by Integrity Convenience Store, which is located in the old Don's Car Wash. You can grab food there and eat it in, or you can take it to go. Barbecued pulled pork, homemade mac and cheese, pizza, and the best chicken in town. It's easy, delicious, and everybody's happy. Integrity Convenience Store located at 52nd and 25th Street in Fargo. Time right now for a WDAY Radio sports update from Big Game James McCarty.
On the diamond, the Fargo-Moorhead Redhawks, fresh off an off day, will begin a three-game set at Newman Outdoor Field up in North Fargo against Lake Country Dockhounds. First pitch tonight at 7:02, the Redhawks, 5-5 on the young season. They actually ended a five-game skid on Sunday afternoon. After starting out the year 4-0, they lost five straight, and now they're back in the win column as they begin this series against Lake Country later on tonight. For the Minnesota Twins, it was a 1-0 lead in the top half of the first inning thanks to a Brooks Lee solo home run, his sixth of the year, as the Twins found themselves saying, hey, if we can maybe not give up any runs, we got a chance here today. And they would leave eight runners on base. They would go 1-for-7 with runners in scoring position, and ultimately in the bottom half of that inning, they would give up the lead with a solo home run. The bottom of the second, they give up a two-run homer, and they were not able to muster any more runs across the board. They fall 3-1 on Monday afternoon to the Chicago White Sox. Zebby Matthews was tagged with the loss, six innings, giving up three runs. The Twins 26-28 in the year. They now continue that series in Chicago against their division foe in the Sox at 6:40 on Twins TV with Joe Ryan on the mound here for Minnesota. In the Stanley Cup playoff, it was a 3-2 victory, walk-off win on the road for the Carolina Hurricanes last night over the Canadiens in Montreal, as the Hurricanes now have a 2-1 lead in that best-of-seven series. Game 3 will continue in Montreal on Wednesday night. For the Western Conference Final, it's a 3-0 lead for the Vegas Golden Knights. And tonight in Las Vegas, the Knights will try and close out the Avalanche at 8 o'clock on ESPN. For the NBA's postseason, the Eastern Conference Final, it went the way of the New York Knicks as they decimated the Cavaliers in Cleveland in Game 4 of the Eastern Conference Final by a score of 130-93. Last night, and the Knicks, after being down 2-1 to the Atlanta Hawks in the Eastern Conference Final quarterfinals, well, they've now rattled off 11 consecutive postseason wins, and they're off to the NBA Finals for the first time this century, because their last finals appearance was 1999. In the Western Conference Final, it will be game number 5 tonight between the Thunder and Spurs from Oklahoma City. That best-of-seven series tied up at 2 games apiece, as the winner of that one will be in the driver's seat entering Game 6 on Thursday evening. And tonight, primetime sports at 6:30. We'll get you ready to rock and roll here in the local sports scene as we look ahead to, over the coming days, the OTAs, the state baseball and softball tournaments in North Dakota, the national tournaments for baseball and softball, along with the Women's College World Series that will begin on Thursday as we whittle down to a national champion. We'll also see what the odds are of South Dakota State from the Summit League having their odds of advancing past the regionals this weekend, which will be from Lincoln, Nebraska, against the Cornhuskers to start things out in that double elimination bracket.
Oh, interesting. All right. Thank you, James. And obviously, it's that time of year, and it's, you know, spring heading into summer. You might be thinking about buying or selling your house. Please call our friend Dan at James Patrick Real Estate before you sign any contracts. Dan's team has been doing this for a long time, and they've closed a ton of listings, and he charges less than most other agents. His clients love the system that they've built, and you know what? You will, too. Go to jamespatrickrealestate.com to learn more. Trust me, it'll be worth your time. That's jamespatrickrealestate.com. 641, we keep talking about some of these kids, James, that have the little scooters, whether it is the e-bikes, if it's a motorized scooter, you know, because they've had those Razor scooters for a while, and now they've got motorized ones. Another sad story about having those is that a juvenile passed away Saturday evening after veering off the road and striking a light post in Dickinson. And, I mean, you're just trying to enjoy a nice long weekend, and you find out that your son or daughter is out driving their scooter like they've done probably hundreds of times, and just lost control and end up hitting that light post and lost their life. So, I mean, it's one of those things. I don't even know what to say. It veered right, overturned, struck a light post, according to the North Dakota State Patrol. She was wearing a helmet at the time of the crash, so that's good. But obviously those scooters and Razor scooters, the e-bikes as well, they go a lot faster than we probably really realize. I remember looking up those just ones for sale, et cetera, and some of them go 19 miles an hour. Some can go up to like 30 miles an hour. And so even if you have a helmet, if you strike a light pole or something like that, I mean, it could be obviously devastating and take a young person's life. So, I mean, it's just another kind of reminder to treat those little motorized scooters, et cetera, with care, and don't overdo it when it comes to how fast you can go. I know the kids get comfortable on them, but, you know, they could be dangerous.
They very much can, and it's just another opportunity for, you know, just general education, mm-hmm. the commonsensical type things. I mean, there's unfortunate accidents that happen every day, but just an opportunity to, you know, remind, you know, the safety of helmets, of yeah. hardware, of making sure that you're comfortable and confident with that, whatever, you know, equipment that you're using of sorts, mm-hmm. Including in this circumstance.
Yeah, absolutely. So sad story out of Dickinson, and just a reminder, you know, obviously she was wearing a helmet, so that's good, but make sure you manage and don't overdo it on the speed and where you're at, because obviously a lot of local small towns here, gravel roads, etc., you can lose control on those even if you're a seasoned driver. So make sure you teach your kids to kind of take it easy on those, because there's not a lot protecting you when you're on a scooter going 30 miles an hour, and bad things can happen. James, do you remember the theft ring that they'd been talking about star athletes getting, or at least not maybe a star athlete, but professional athletes, their homes getting robbed while they were gone?
Yes.
Three purported members of a South American theft group were arrested in Argentina over the weekend. And they're Chilean citizens, and they're wanted on federal charges with connection to burglaries, as athletes including Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce. They are two of the suspects are among five people arrested in connection with these robberies, and the arrest of the third one was unrelated to I guess a tennis player got robbed, but still, I mean, they had an operation that they were targeting professional athletes. I mean, I think it's kind of a crazy story, but obviously most of the time you might actually know that a professional athlete's going to be out of town, because you know that their team, the Kansas City Chiefs, they're playing in Los Angeles against the Chargers. They're playing in Vegas against the Raiders. They're not going to be home during that game. So there's a window, but it's just amazing that these guys were able to rob a number of professional athletes' homes over the course of, I don't even know what it was, if it was a year or less. But, I mean, it's been quite the story, to say the least.
Yeah, very much so. And, I mean, I just hope that, you know, when it comes to being prosecuted, mm-hmm. it's the fullest extent of the law to discourage anything of that sort in the future.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I understand, you know, they're part of a 1% when it comes to wealth, the professional mm-hmm. athletes and different
you know, basically a different lifestyle that they're able to have, maybe a little bit more lavish mm-hmm. and things of those sorts. But, you know, you, just because you're a little bit more well off financially doesn't mean that you should have to, if you're out of town for the day or even for half yeah. of a day, you shouldn't have to have somebody, you know, quote unquote, house sitting your home just to make sure, prevent somebody from thefting items and jewelry and all kinds of things of those sorts.
That Patrick Mahomes and his wife, they welcomed a child into the world this last year, I believe. Mm-hmm. What if you know, the wife is home with the new baby and just trying to, you know, get set up, watch dad play on TV and wait for him to come home, and you got these guys breaking in. But according to that,
I would hope that they would be smart enough to not, sure. you know, approach and enter if they saw it was occupied. But yeah. then again, knowing criminals nowadays, who honestly knows?
Yeah. According to the federal complaint, defendants were burglarizing homes of NFL and NBA players while they were away or playing games at the time. Prosecutors alleged they stole valuables worth more than $2 million. There's a photograph in the complaint showing four guys. One of them is unidentified at this point in time, but they've got a bunch of, you know, watches and other things, and they're just posing with it like, you know, it's no big deal. So they you know, robbed a safe and took watches, chains, personal items, jewelry, and cash. So they had to break open a safe to get it, designer bags. It's just, to me, it's just a crazy story, and there's no respect that I can give these people. I mean, I thought it was just stupid. So I'm glad they got caught, and hopefully they get charged to the fullest extent of the law. So, I mean, it's crazy. In addition to Mahomes and Kelsey, FBI linked the group to a 2024 burglary of Tampa Bay Buccaneers player. The thieves stole items worth more than $167,000 on that one. They burglarized the home of a Memphis Grizzlies player, just $1 million worth of stuff on that one. I mean, it's crazy to say the least. All right, 6:48, we need to take a timeout because we're going to be getting ready for Flatland Music Flashback coming up at about 6:56. It was on this date in 1962, this group released this song. They didn't write the song, but you know what? They made it a hit. We'll talk about that and more coming up next in Flatland Music Flashback. 7:04, time for a check on that weather forecast with Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki. Dino?
Well, we were 1 degree away from a record yesterday. We hit 92. Yeah. The record was 93 yesterday. Today, the record is 93. I think we're going to tie it. Mm. All is going to be dependent on when these storms develop this evening. I think they're going to hold off till after 5, so that should give us a record-tying high. But a lot of sunshine today. Currently, we're right around 60 degrees, so a nice mild start to the day. We'll make it up to 93. That would tie a record, and we'll have winds out of the east-southeast at 5 to 15. Now, we will see those storms developing in a scattered fashion from the valley eastward into Lakes Country after 5 o'clock. Some of those could be on the strong side, and those storms will last into the early overnight hours. Again, not everybody's going to see them, but if you get caught under one, you could get some brief heavy rain, and some of those could be, they're going to be marginally severe. So a couple of those could be. So we could see some small hail. Again, something we'll keep an eye on for this evening. And again, timing on that would be after 5 o'clock. We'll bottom out overnight around 60, and then tomorrow, partly cloudy and temps in the upper 80s. We'll stay in the upper 80s to near 90 for the rest of the week. And then the weekend looks like it's still going to be hot with highs in the upper 80s. Now, we do cool off early next week as a cold front swings through. That'll trigger off a few storms and highs by next Tuesday, falling back into about the 80-degree range. So okay. a little better.
Okay,
a little
good.
Better. But, yeah, a hot week ahead, and really the only chance for any rain or storms would be this evening into the early overnight hours.
All right. Thank you, Dino.
You bet.
Weather is brought to you by the North Dakota Petroleum Foundation. You know what? If you've been thinking about getting a new full smile, you can get one in one day. And it takes more than skill. It takes passion, training, and the right technology. Dr. Matt Eaton at Dakota Implant and Sedation Center has extensive advanced training in implant dentistry. He uses advanced 3D imaging, digital planning, and in-house technology. Each smile is carefully planned before treatment even begins. Many patients, they're able to walk out the same day with a strong, natural-looking full smile, a compassionate team, comfortable experience, and financing options available. If you've been told implants take months, it might be time for a second opinion. Dakota Implant and Sedation Center in Fargo. You can find out more information on their website, dakotaimplant.com. And as always, smile like you mean it. Time to check out your national news from ABC. We return a sports update from Big Game James McCarty. 7:10, time for a check on the local sports scene with our sports director, Big Game James McCarty.
One half of the NBA finals are set after Karl Anthony Towns and his New York Knicks just completely and utterly decimated the Cavaliers in Cleveland.
Was that
for
series
a four-game sweep?
Was that series even close, like any of the games? I mean, they had one game or something at the beginning, right?
I don't even know. 130-93 was the game four victory for the Knicks.
I didn't think they were.
The closest game in the series was game one, which was an 11-point win.
Yep.
For the Knicks.
It was game two, though. They had the big comeback, didn't they? They were down by 20-some points in the...
Yeah, they ended up winning by 16.
I know. They were down by 22, and they won by 16, basically, over the course of a quarter and a half. So
I believe that went to overtime, if I remember right.
Yes, I believe so.
Yeah, that one did not. I thought there was one
I thought so, too. I thought they came back, and they had to go to overtime to win that one. But regardless, Cleveland... defense was very much optional when it came to the playoffs.
Game one was overtime, but they outscored them 14-3. Either way, first time since the turn of the century, the Knicks are in the NBA Finals. First time since 1999, for those who were wondering. So the Knicks have won 11 consecutive games, and they're going to go the entire month of May without a loss because the NBA Finals does not begin until June regardless.
Oh, yeah.
Of what happens in the OKC San Antonio series, and the last time the Knicks lost, April the 23rd. It is the 26th of May today, by the way, guys.
Yeah, and that game won overtime win by 11. Like you said, they outscored them by 11. That's when they had that big comeback because they had been outscored by, looks like, 9 and 12. They were outscored by 21 points in those middle two quarters, and then they outscored the Cavs by 14. In that fourth quarter, mm-hmm. went on to win, and then mm-hmm. the next three games were just like, yeah, we're just going to pack this one in.
Basically what ended up happening. Yeah. Oklahoma City will host San Antonio tonight in the Western Conference Final. Game 5, 7:30 on NBC. That series is tied up at two games apiece as of right now. For the NHL Stanley Cup playoff, the Eastern Conference Final saw a walk-off win on the road for the Hurricanes in Montreal, 3-2 last night. There was a goal in the third period, 4 Montreal, well, actually got waved off because of an offsides, and that was what allowed the Hurricanes to force overtime and get that win in OT. Carolina now leads that series 2-1. Game 3 will remain in Montreal on Wednesday night. For the Western Conference Final, after looking like a complete and total juggernaut, the Colorado Avalanche, well, they're in the elimination game tonight, and not in a good way for them, as Vegas has a 3-0 series lead from Las Vegas at 8 o'clock on ESPN. The Golden Knights trying to punch their ticket back to the Cup Final for what would be the third time in its decade-long existence. For the Avs, they're trying to get there for the second time in the last 5 years. On the diamond yesterday afternoon, the Minnesota Twins dropped a Memorial Day matchup, a pitcher's duel to the Chicago White Sox. Even though the Twins did hit a solo home run in the top half of the first and the White Sox hit 2 home runs in the first 2 innings, that was all the scoring that they had yesterday. 3-1, the White Sox get the win. Brooks Lee hit a home run. That was his 6th of the year. Zebby Matthews gave up the loss even though he only gave up 3 runs over 6 innings of work. The Twins are 26-28, third place in the AL Central. The White Sox are outright in second. For the time being, a game and a half ahead of the Twins. Game 2 of that 4-game set, 6:49 on Twins TV, with Joe Ryan scheduled to be on the mound for Minnesota. And tonight, the Fargo-Moorhead Redhawks continue their home opener series, more or less, or kind of homestand. Home opening homestand of the season, if that makes sense in your heads. The first time this year that they're hosting, and it's their second series in that week-long homestand. They take on the Lake Country Dockhounds. First pitch tonight, 7:02, fresh off an off day. The Redhawks enter with a record of 5-5 on the year.
All right, 7:15, and we've got Bridget Riedel coming up at about 7:20-ish or so. We'll talk a few things going on in the wide, wide world of ag, which today is going to be, let's see, what's her tease? Tire prices are kicking back. Believe it or not. Or no, wait, is that tomorrow? Today's Tuesday. My bad. EPA puts farmer comments first on fungicide strategy. I know you were dying to hear about the farmer comments on fungicide strategy, James. I know you're a big fungicide guy.
Yeah, yeah, I'm real big into that, apparently.
Well, there's that. But yeah, we got Bridget Garrido coming up next to get us up to date on the ag world. And you know what, James? I can't wait to get to the store. I'm still going to save it for later because we do have Name That Jingle coming up at about 7:47, 7:50. A chance to win a $25 gift certificate to Ziti's Italian restaurant. A great place to eat over there in West Fargo at the Lights. Great Italian food. I know Bonnie's had a chance to eat there. I haven't made it over there yet, but it's fantastic food over there. And we'll give you a chance to get a head start on that by going over there and getting a chance to sample some of the fine cuisine with the $25 gift card. So there's that. There's a story, though, that I can't wait. And then it'll all make sense when you hear where the person in this incident is from. You'll be like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that makes perfect sense to why that happened exactly. So we'll get to that later on, probably in that 8 o'clock hour going forward. And looking else what we got coming up here this week, obviously, Wednesday and another day without our beloved Bonnie. But she will be back on Thursday morning. And as I was asked about last week, Bonnie's just on vacation. Nothing's going on that we have to worry about. That's not exactly my first thought, although I guess maybe with my personal experiences, maybe people wonder about health and things like that. But everything's going well with Bonnie. She's just able to get back, see her folks, see her family, and then spend some time doing what she loves to do rather than hanging out with us. So there's always that. All right, we're going to talk to Bridget Riedel when we come back, but first we've got a couple messages from sponsors, and then we'll talk about what's going on in the wide, wide world of ag. 7:22, we head out to the farm to talk with our ag director, Bridget Riedel. Good morning, Bridget. How are we doing?
Fabulous, and hopefully you as well.
Mm-hmm.
All right, many things on the horizon. One of them is the fact that there's research being done about Fusarium head blight. Fusarium head blight is a disease that normally impacts us in our small grains, such as wheat. Now, the scientists have identified a novel genetic locus in a common ag weed. The weed is common coach or coach grass, and it's a wild relative of cultivated wheat. So if you were able to take the resistance from the wild wheat species to Fusarium head blight and be able to put that into the cultivated wheat, you now have the opportunity to reduce 60% of the Fusarium head blight infection that happens in wheat. Could this be a big deal? Farmers spray just about every year for Fusarium head blight. So I think that as we look for this to increase its impact, there's a lot here to share. I think for farmers, this could be a cost savings, but research is still pretty early. They are doing it in field trial stages, and we'll see where that leads us very soon.
Well, would that be the first time that they've tried to kind of I don't know if you want to use the term genetically engineer, but kind of crossbreed to try and really take the benefits of something that's deemed as a weed, something that's unwanted, and putting with something that obviously is wanted and try and make it more, sustainable, but more resistant to some of these issues?
Oh, no, we've done this for years. In fact, since the early 90s, that's the basis of how we got to Roundup Ready crops. Because Mother Nature naturally provided some resistance to the Roundup herbicide. Scientists were able to figure that out. They took a look at it and said, wait, no matter how much we use, this particular weed doesn't want to die. So what if we take its genetic material and we are able to crossbreed that into a soybean or a corn plant, and then it came from nature and it's going to continue to occur. Here's a fun fact for you. Do you know how they first got the Roundup Ready resistant material into a soybean plant? Take a wild guess.
It had something to do with pigs.
Nope, but if James was in the room, he'd laugh himself silly.
No, boy.
Okay, they put the DNA on a shotgun shell and shot the plant so that the BBs literally took the DNA material into the soybean plant.
Really?
So yes. they basically had a firing squad.
Yes, at a soybean plant.
Yeah, so they had this one soybean plant, and you're just going to be, it's going to be, you know, one's going to be sacrificed for the good of many. So I see
how
it
the
is.
Corn and heads of lettuce feel about this?
they got their act together right quick.
They had a blindfold and tiny cigarettes for them.
Any last words, soybeans?
Oh, gosh.
But that brought the resistant material into the plant, and it was faster than trying to figure out a way to do the genetic breeding. They just shot the soybean. And so that brought the material to the, you know, the DNA into that plant, and that's how we began the breeding for glyphosate, or I should say Roundup Ready resistance. That's a trademark term.
That's crazy.
So there you go. More work to be done, and perhaps the wheat could be up next. Get it together, people. Mm. So now... Right now is the open comment period with the EPA for the fungicide strategy plan. EPA has done this over the last probably 5 years, one on insecticides, one on herbicides. And what they are doing is you are able to go in and make public comments about the fungicide strategy that they are using. And that means you can comment on things like, do we think that fungicides are being used respectfully in the environment? Do we think that fungicides impact, and this is literally a real question, do you think that a fungicide, which is a disease preventer, is impacting the Midwest whooping crane or the Indiana bat? And you can give your comments on that.
All right.
Farmers, their comments are weighed more heavily than those of pretty much everybody else, mm-hmm. because they're the actual end user.
Yeah.
And the same thing goes, you know, versus scientists, research folks, university, agribusinesses, et cetera. So my encouragement is to farmers to get into that public comment period, which is open through June 29th, and give your thoughts and opinions on that herbicide, or excuse me, on that fungicide strategy. Mm. Much appreciated if you could.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's how you're going to get the best, you know, data, because there's only so mm-hmm. much you can do as a maker of said product, and sure. there's so many tests you can do. So if you get some actual input from those that are using it out in the field and things yeah. they're experiencing, I yep. mean, you can obviously, you know, hopefully fine tune some things or make some significant changes if needed.
Absolutely. And that's the way folks are looking to get this mm-hmm. done. Now, further, if you are looking to get things done, I just want to toss this out there that next week is the North Dakota FFA convention in Fargo. That'll be held Monday through Thursday, June 1st to the 4th. It will be at the Shack at NDSU, and the public is invited to attend their daily business sessions. It sounds boring, except for the fact that the students are all going to be there, all 1,600 of them that come to the convention. That's a small representation of the 8,000 students across North Dakota who are enrolled. You have their motivational speakers. You hear their awards. You get to be a part of the excitement and the leadership that happens starting at at North Dakota FFA convention. This is the 97th convention that they are hosting. Before each session, so the main sessions start Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday nights at 7. From about 6:30 to 7, there will be a live feed. It's like the pregame show for the FFA convention. I'm looking forward to working with students as I host that for them. So you'll get a chance to see me doing that next week. That'll be Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday
nights. I was just waiting to see where you were going to be. And you hadn't mentioned being anywhere. Now it's all of a sudden there's a pregame, but I'll be helping, quote unquote, with the students.
Coaching.
You're the host. Don't lie.
You guys get to do a pregame show. No, I do too. I just want to know if I get a whistle.
No whistle. We don't get whistles on our pregame shows because we're not coaches. We're there in the booth or whatever. But I mean, are you going to be wearing your FFA jacket because you're the one of the few people that shows that it can still fit?
I'm not sure. I don't necessarily want to detract from what the kids are doing.
Right,
so.
Sure. You're just going to walk in and go, I don't even know who I am, but I'm Bridget Riedel, and I was in FFA 35 years ago.
Boy, you got that name right, or that number right.
Well, that's because we're probably in the same class.
Probably.
I'm just saying.
I don't know. See at the class reunion this summer.
Exactly.
Which I'm not even kidding. No. Okay, so one last thing, and that is that gall midge in soybean has been a rising concern for a number of farmers. We found this a couple of years ago, and it literally creates this ball on the side of a soybean plant, which you can't shoot off. Mm. But nonetheless, that gall has an insect inside of it that will sap the lifeblood right out of that mm-hmm. plant, right? The larvae disrupt the water flow and the nutrition flow through the plant, and they leave dark lesions that cause the plant to wilt and die. So more work is being figured out. Cold tolerance studies have been done. They suggest that there's a limit to the overwintering of the gall midge. They also believe that that gall midge larvae stay at the soil surface. It doesn't move very much, but it can be moved around by tillage. We don't have an insecticide that's effective on it as of yet, but that work continues, and keep an eye out for more research throughout this summer, especially from University of Minnesota on that soybean gall midge
well,
in the region.
I tell you what, Midge, she's got some gall. The nerve of that woman.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Can't believe she even showed up. All right. You guys have a fabulous rest of the day,
hey.
And you can send me emails.
There you go.
Ag at flagfamily.com.
All right.
Oh, hey, we got a guest today on Running Ag and Focus.
Okay.
Gosh, it's a busy morning. On the auction block with Brad Olstead, we're going to talk about machinery. And then Chris Sherman, our cybersecurity superhero, he's going to come in as well.
All right. Thank you, Bridget.
All right. See ya.
All right. As Bridget Riedel, our ag director, joins us every day at about 7:20. Time to head into the newsroom with Jim Miller. 7:32, time for a check on the local forecast with Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki.
Well, it's going to be another hot one. Now, we topped out yesterday at 92, and that was 1 degree away from a record.
Yeah.
Close, but
almost
no cigar.
Tired.
Yeah, now today I think we're going to tie the record. 93 is what I'm calling for today. Already some areas up to 70 already this morning. So a quick warm-up. Now we'll have a weak front moving in from the north and moisture pulling in from the south as we head towards evening. A pretty good combination of those two will trigger off a few isolated storms, and some of those could be on the strong side. Timing on that would be after about 5 p.m., and those isolated storms will continue into the overnight hours, generally the valley eastward. The further west you go, really not much. And lows around 60 tonight, and then a partly cloudy hot one tomorrow, upper 80s, and we stay in the upper 80s to near 90 all the way through the upcoming weekend with dry conditions. So the only chance for rain this week would come this evening and into the early overnight hours. And again, that's generally the valley eastward. Not everybody's going to see any these storms, but if you do get caught under one, it could be marginally severe and produce some locally heavy rainfall. But again, and not everybody's going to see them. So, but if you have evening plans, just kind of keep that in the back of your mind. Could have some pop-up storms throughout the area.
All right. Thank you, Dino. Time now is 7:34. Time for a check on your national news from ABC. When we return, a sports update from Big Game James McCarty. Still to come, your 3-degree guarantee. And name that jingle coming up at about 7:47, 7:48 here this morning. 7:36, time for a check on the local sports with Big Game James McCarty.
Approaching this weekend will be the state softball and baseball tournaments for North Dakota with Class A in Minot, Class B in Jamestown. The local teams that will begin participating Thursday. You have for Class A baseball, West Fargo High, the top team out of the East. 2 seed is West Fargo Horace. 3 seed is Fargo South. 4 seed is West Fargo Cheyenne. For Class B in baseball, your local teams, you have a 3-seeded Thompson, top seed Kindred overall. For Class A softball locally, the top seed overall is West Fargo Horace. The 2 seed's West Fargo High. 3-seeded is Shanley. 4-seed is Fargo Davies. For Class B, your local squads, you have top seeded Central Cass, 5-seed Thompson, unseated Kindred, and of course those will begin around 11 a.m. on Thursday, the state quarterfinals in those respective baseball and softball Class A and Class B brackets. For the Stanley Cup playoffs, it was a walk-off win on the road for the Carolina Hurricanes, 3-2 last night in overtime, as they now the Hurricanes take a 2-1 series lead. They'll stay in Montreal for game 4 Wednesday evening. In the Western Conference Final, it could be a clean sweep. We're going to find out tonight at 8 o'clock on ESPN when the Vegas Golden Knights host the Colorado Avalanche. Vegas leads that best-of-7 series 3-0. In the NBA playoff, it was a clean sweep, though, for the New York Knicks as they took out the Cavaliers in Cleveland 130-93 last night. Karl Anthony Towns leading the Knicks to the NBA Finals for the first time since 1999. They await the winner of the Western Conference Final between Oklahoma City and San Antonio. That best-of-7 series tied up at 2 games apiece. And Game 5 tonight from Oklahoma City at 7:30 on NBC. Fresh off an off day, the Fargo-Moorhead Redhawks continue their homestand against the Lake Country Dockhounds tonight at Newman Outdoor Field up in North Fargo. 7:02 is the first pitch. The Redhawks are 5-5 on the young season. And on the diamond for the Twins yesterday on Memorial Day, they would drop a pitcher's duel 3-1 to the Chicago White Sox. It was a first inning solo home run, the sixth of the year for Brooks Lee. That was the only offense the Twins really could get scratched across. They did end up with seven total hits. They had eight runners they stranded on base. They went 1-for-7 runners in scoring position. That one hit they had when the base runner was trying to score for the Twins, he was tossed out at home plate. For Zebby Matthews, he got tagged to the loss, giving up three runs over six innings worth of work. The Twins and Sox continue this series tonight from Chicago. Game two of a four-game set at 6:40 tonight on Twins TV. Joe Ryan on the mound for Minnesota. And this evening, primetime sports at 6:30. We'll get you ready to rock and roll, fresh off of the long three-day holiday weekend as we get ready for the month of June that is just around the corner.
All right, thank you, James.
Sports this hour brought to you by Valley Imports and Valley Pre-Owned, your best price leader in the region. Find your next vehicle at valleyimports.com.
Valley and friends, coming to you live from the Corwin Subaru studio. Corwin Subaru, family-driven for over 100 years. Your Subaru journey starts here, but where it goes is up to you. And as always, you can drop us an email on our Glass Doctor Auto of Fargo-Moorhead inbox if you want to say something to us. And obviously, get this number in your phone, 701-293-9000. That's the Window and Door Store Hotline and the Window and Door Store. They specialize in residential remodeling with professional installation. Better windows, better doors, the WDStore.com. We've got Name That Jingle coming up at about 7:47 or so. A chance for you to win a fabulous $25 gift certificate to ZD's. A chance to get over there and get your meal paid for, or at least half of it, maybe if you bring somebody with you. Great Italian cuisine over there. New restaurant over in the Lights complex or district. I don't even know what you call that, James. Just over at the Lights. I don't know if it's a district, you might say. I mean,
yeah, they've
got
several
buildings. They got several bars and other type of establishments. But ZD's Italian grill over there, just fantastic food over there. You got to get over there and try it. I've heard nothing but great things about it. And so we'll give you a head start getting over there, getting some great food. Speaking of food, James, University of Michigan researchers have developed a new nutritional index that calculates the net health burden of various foods, either healthy life gained or lost per serving. And so they did this study, and they are talking about hot dogs, which, of course, if you go to a ball game, you want to grab a hot dog, you know, or maybe just on weekends, you want to, you know, make the kids happy, you know, might want to throw some hot dogs on the grill, whatever. Calculations show that eating a single beef hot dog on a bun costs how much time, I should say, of life expectancy. It's a negative.
Hot dogs?
Yeah, hot dogs. Each hot dog, how much would
each hot dog individually.
How much of your lifespan is cut off by eating a hot dog?
10 minutes.
Is that your final answer?
Yes.
Wrong. It costs an individual 36 minutes of healthy life expectancy.
One hot dog?
One singular hot dog. So how many minutes have you shaved off your life?
Well, as a child, we were not, you know, we were not a part of the high class. So,
Are you even supposed to be here now?
How many hot dogs I consumed as a child? I mean,
if you think about it, I might not
make it to the show in the morning based off of the amount we consumed before I was 12.
If every one cost you 36 minutes, how is Kobayashi or Joey Chestnut still on this planet?
That's a good point.
Their math might be off.
It's a myth.
How old is Joey Chestnut? Is he in his 40s?
He's in his mid-40s.
Well, I mean, he might only live till 55 then with as many hot dogs as he eats every July 4th. I'm just saying. I mean,
I don't buy that.
Let's see. Joey Chestnut, he is 42 years old. Based on the number of hot dogs he's eaten, he's probably aged about 56 years old. I'm just kidding. I have no idea. So, 36 minutes. I got to find my webpage here again. 36 minutes of healthy life. The processed meat component accounts for 27 minutes of this reduction, while the added sodium and trans fatty acids contribute the remaining loss.
So you're telling me the product itself is more harmful than the month's worth of sodium in a hot dog?
Well, look at this. A serving of nuts adds 26 minutes of healthy life. So I've added a couple hours.
So you eat a hot dog and then you have a handful of nuts?
Exactly. You balance
it
out.
Now you're down 13 minutes, 10 minutes, something like that. 10 minutes.
A classic peanut butter and jelly sandwich provides an increase of 33 minutes. Authors emphasize that individuals do not need to make drastic dietary changes to achieve significant health improvements. But it says that substituting just 10% of daily caloric intake from beef and processed meats with diverse mix of fruits, vegetables, and nuts and select seafood can gain 48 healthy minutes per day. So write that in your diary, James. You might be able to extend your life. 744, when we come back, we'll have your 3-degree guarantee. And still to come, name that jingle. 746, time for your 3-degree guarantee. It is brought to you by Labor Masters. Get the quality, reliable help you need today with Labor Masters. And I guess you came in yesterday, Dino, and gave us the 3-degree guarantee while I was absent.
Yeah, so forecasting 90 yesterday, and we hit 92.
All right.
So it was a hot one.
How about that?
Yeah, today we're going to go 1 degree warmer than yesterday. We're going to go 93. If we hit 93 today, that would tie a record for the day. So I think we're going to come pretty darn close to it with east-southeast winds 5 to 15. Now, we do get a minor upper-level disturbance moving in as we head into the evening hours. Anytime after 5, we could see an isolated storm or two. Some of those could be strong. We'll keep a close eye on those, and that'll last into the early overnight hours with lows bottoming out around 60. And the rest of the week looks dry, hot, with highs in the upper 80s to near 90. So, again, today's 3-degree guarantee, 93.
All right. Thank you, Dino. That 3-degree guarantee of 93 is brought to you by Labor Masters. You can get the quality, reliable help you need today with Labor Masters. All right, 747. We're going to take a timeout. But during that timeout, I want caller number 7 to play Name That Jingle, your chance to win a $25 gift certificate to ZD's Italian Grill over in West Fargo. We're taking caller number 7. You got to be able to name this jingle. It's not going to be able to be known what one it is. It's going to be beeped out. So get your calls in now. Caller number 7, you'll be the first one to have an opportunity to name that jingle. That is coming up next, right here on WDAY Radio. 7:52 on a Tuesday morning. That means it is time to play Name That Jingle, sponsored by ZD's, a chance to win a $25 gift card from them if you can name this jingle. We've got Mark Yu on the line. Mark, are you ready to play?
I suppose.
Oh, well, don't sound so confident there. But all right, here's your chance. Listen to this jingle and see if you can name it. All right, Mark, hopefully that one wasn't too difficult. Can you name that jingle? What company or organization, whose jingle is that?
Sounds like the Army.
That is correct, sir. You are correct. You have won a $25 gift card to ZD's over in West Fargo. Have you by chance been there yet?
I have not.
All right. Well, here's your chance to get over there and get some great Italian food. We'll have that gift card for you. Do you know where we're located at?
Are you by Thunder Road?
Yes, we are right next to Thunder Road. So swing by between 8:30 and 4:30. We'll have that waiting for you at the front desk.
All right. Thank you.
Yep. Thank you, Mark. Thanks for listening. Mark, you are our winner this week of Name That Jingle. And listen every Tuesday for a chance to win Name That Jingle right here on Bonnie and Friends, a chance to win a $25 gift certificate to ZD's over in the lights in West Fargo. All right, we'll take a quick timeout. We'll have your money and markets when we return. 7:57, time for a check on your money and markets. Not a lot of stories over the markets because they were closed this weekend, but the biggest thing over the course of the weekend is that stocks trended upward towards the end of the week, James. Dow was up 294 to close at 50,579.7. S&P was up about 28 points. That closed at 7,473.47. And the NASDAQ finished up about 51 points, finishing at 26,343.97. And that was really about all we have over the last 3 days then.
Well, yeah, for the most part. I mean, when you have a 3-day weekend like that, a little bit longer. But I tell you what, you know, we keep trending like this, and yeah. I might be able to take a day off of work.
Hey, look what, I mean, it might be, not that you're looking forward to it, but it might, you know, I might be able to retire sooner rather than later if things keep trending the right way.
And overall, if you look over kind of towards the Eastern Hemisphere, shares yeah. mixed in Europe and Asia after the U.S. military said it carried out what they called to be a self-defense strike in southern Iran, including a missile launch that on sites and boats placing mines. The attacks came even as President Donald Trump said on social media that negotiations on ending the war were proceeding nicely. U.S. futures jumped while oil prices were mixed, with Brent crude trading below $100 a barrel.
Yeah,
seems
think
like
I,
the first time in a while. It
I
feels
think
like.
I saw. Mean,
that's
going
to be close to a month now, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I think I saw over the weekend we were down to maybe $97 a barrel, and it had been as high recently as like $107. So a nice $10 mm-hmm. drop there, which obviously helps a lot of things.
And of course, for anybody who is not living underneath a rock like Patrick Starr, they know the markets were closed for the Memorial Day holiday to honor those who had given the ultimate sacrifice for us yesterday.
So hopefully we will see markets continue to trend up. And then, of course, tomorrow is Wednesday. And unless he is out of town for vacation this week, we'll be joined by Brian Kronk, managing partner of Collins & Kronk. And he will be able to talk all things money and markets, answer any questions you have. So, I mean, tomorrow, if you want to give us a call during his segment, you can call and ask a question. Or if you want to get ahead of everything, email us at studio@wdayradionow.com. Get your questions in for Brian Kronk tomorrow.
He's got to be in tomorrow, right? I mean, how many 80-degree days can you spend at the lake in a row?
I don't know. I mean,
he's got to take a day or two to at least make sure that all the numbers are crunching properly at the office before he goes back, right?
The numbers are numbering?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, yeah, exactly. I mean, you never know.
The numbers are getting larger. That's exactly. That's what I understand in
that's
realm.
What I always
I'm not
like
super
to see.
Educated. That's why I've got Brian around.
Exactly.
Most of us have him around because he knows how to work those numbers. I'm not a math guy.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the easiest way to put it. I'm a talk. I went to school to talk, not to number.
There you go. Bonnie and Friends is coming to you live from the Corwin Subaru Studio. Corwin Subaru, family driven for over 100 years. Your Subaru journey starts here, but where it goes is up to you. And then, of course, our inbox brought to you by Glass Doctor Auto of Fargo-Moorhead and the Window and Door Store phone line sponsors our phone line every single day. It is about the top of the hour. It's 8 o'clock. We are WDAY Fargo, so time to check in with our newsroom and Jim Miller. 8:02, time for check on that local forecast with Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki. Dino?
Hot, hot, hot!
Yes, it is.
In fact, we're looking at near record heat today. We were 1 degree off a record yesterday. We hit 92. The record was 93. Today, the record is 93, and I'm forecasting 93. So it is going to be a hot one out there with a lot of sunshine. East-southeast winds 5 to 15. Now, a weak front and moisture moving in from the south, two ingredients will come together this evening from the valley eastward into Lakes Country, and that'll trigger off some isolated storms. Some of those could be on the stronger side. We'll keep an eye on them for you. And those will last into the early overnight hours. We'll drop down to about 60. And the rest of the week, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, look dry and mainly sunny and hot, with highs in the upper 80s to near 90. We'll continue that stretch into the upcoming weekend. And then a frontal boundary will swing through early next week with a better chance for storms and highs cooling back off to the upper 70s to mid 80s. So temperatures over the next week are going to remain well above normal, along with, again, the chance for record heat today. And you know what? It may be a little hot for some to get out on the golf course. So,
me?
Yeah. You're such a baby.
And look, I don't deal well with the heat. It all started back when I was in high school. I got like, it wasn't, sunstroke or anything, but I got a little too much heat one day. And ever since then, can't handle it.
Well, that'll do it.
Yeah.
So if you want to golf, but you don't want to get out in the heat, check out Ace Out Golf. And there's no tee time needed. It's perfect for tuning in your swing, maybe working on your slice. It's also great for a little get-together with your friends, family, coworkers, whatever.
We're just waiting for you to get one at your house. That we can invite
I'll
us
just
over.
Go to Ace Out Golf and use their stuff. So check it out more at aceoutgolf.com.
To this day, we have no idea where Dean lives.
And there's a reason for that. There's a darn good reason for that.
There's a lot of his neighbors that wish they didn't know where he lived. There's a couple. I mean, strutting around in his Speedo mowing his yard, James. I don't know if I could really handle that.
Yeah, well, I, I feel better knowing it was 90 yesterday. We hit that because I don't feel as bad about being shirtless now half the afternoon, so, laying in the backyard, so wheezing.
It was funny because I was helping Christy out with some yard work yesterday.
Yeah.
And I'm out there in my Speedo. I didn't have a shirt on because it was hot out.
It was
out
too hot,
and,
yeah.
And the elderly next door neighbor came out and she's like, oh, hi, how are you doing?
I'm
like,
she asked you to do some projects around her house?
She no, she didn't.
Oh, that's too bad.
Can you go water the lawn
yeah.
for me quick? Can yeah. you go trim the tree?
Can you pull some weeds?
Can you
right
bend over and pull those weeds yeah. off for me? My back is hurting.
Well, you know, you got to play your cards.
Hey, you know what? You got to make the neighbors happy.
There you go.
Or sick, one or the other. One I'm not sure other. Which one it is.
Leave it. You left a lasting impression. We'll leave it that way.
Quite the neighborly offer right there.
See?
All right, thank you. 8:05, we got to check on your national news. When we come back, a sports update from Big Game James McCarty, and then more silliness. 8:09, time for a check on the wide world of sports with Big Game James McCarty.
On the diamond yesterday afternoon, a Memorial Day matinee, game one of a four-game set for the Twins and White Sox. The Twins hit a solo shot at the top of the first by Brooks Lee, his sixth of the year. Well, then the White Sox hit a solo shot in the bottom of the first. It was one apiece in the second inning. A two-run homer would give Chicago a 3-1 lead. And don't worry, because the Twins had eight runners reach base, so they're obviously not going to score the rest of the game. They lost 3-1. I'm not going to sugarcoat it for you. Zebby Matthews, he was pretty solid after giving up those two home runs early. He only gave up those three runs over six innings of work, but he was tagged with the loss. The Twins and Sox continue that four-game set. Game two of it at 6:40 tonight on Twins TV. Joe Ryan on the mound for Minnesota. Sean Burke countering for the White Sox. On the diamond up in North Fargo at Newman Outdoor Field tonight, the Redhawks, fresh off an off day, continue their week-long homestand as they battle the Lake Country Dockhounds. First pitch tonight at 7:02. The Redhawks are 5-5 on the year. Sunday afternoon, in that series finale they had against Kane County, they ended a five-game skid. On the ice for the respective Eastern Conference final, the Carolina Hurricanes walked off the Montreal Canadiens 3-2 in overtime last night as the Hurricanes now have a 2-1 series lead. Montreal will be hosting game four on Wednesday. For the Western Conference final, could it be a sweep? Vegas wants it to be. They're up 3-0, and they're hosting the Avalanche tonight. The Golden Knights are at 8 o'clock on ESPN. And for the NBA's postseason in the Eastern Conference, well, the champions of the Eastern Conference, the New York Knicks, who have not lost a game in over a month now. They won their 11th consecutive game, completing the sweep of the Cavs yesterday, and it was dominating, 130-93. The Knicks, after falling behind 2-1 to the Atlanta Hawks, have now won 11 consecutive postseason games. Their first NBA Finals appearance since 1999. Their opponent, to be determined. The Oklahoma City Thunder and San Antonio Spurs currently tied up at 2 games apiece in their best of seven Western Conference Final Series. Oklahoma City tonight, 7:30 at NBC, is where Game 5 will be played between the Spurs and Thunder. The winner, of course, in the driver's seat of that series.
All right. Thank you, James. It is 8:11, almost 8:12. We're going to take a quick timeout. Then another friendly reminder to make sure that when you're out in those national parks, out in, say, western South Dakota, maybe even northern or western North Dakota and Wyoming, Colorado, etc., you might want to make sure you steer clear of the fluffy cattle. We'll talk about that next. 8:16 on a Tuesday morning that feels like a Monday. So a couple stories I wanted to get to before the end of the show. A 70-year-old woman has passed away out in Rapid City, South Dakota, where my brother is a resident out there. And the cause of death, fluffy cow syndrome.
What is fluffy cow syndrome?
She got run over by a bison.
Oh.
So, I mean, this isn't grandma got run over by a reindeer. She got run over by a bison.
Oh.
The 70-year-old woman and I believe her husband were hiking on the Grace Coolidge Trail, according to the South Dakota Game, Fish, and Parks. It happened on May 18th, so it's been about a little over a week now. When the woman and her husband, they encountered a group of bull bison. So that usually, I mean, even going to my uncle's dairy farm back in the day, I always just assume that the bulls are a little more aggressive than the cows.
Right.
And she was struck in the back and later died from her injuries. Mm. And They park staff has removed the bison involved in the immediate area and are reviewing safety measures to help prevent encounters in the future. And, of course, the officials have noted that drier conditions have caused bison to spread out more in the park, trying to find something to forage, increasing chances of visitors coming into contact with them. And then they continue to remind everybody, be bison wise, keep a safe distance, make some noise while hiking, and use extra caution around corners and ridgelines. So that's good advice. It's not one of those ones where a woman was trying to go up and pet a fluffy cow, thankfully. So it was kind of unexpected. But it's just a reminder, nature, wildlife, it's wild for a reason.
You're in their territory.
Absolutely, you are.
Did you hear about the dog that shot a lady? Out in western Nebraska.
You mentioned that off the air. So how did that happen?
So this lady stopped at a gas station. This is out in the panhandle of Nebraska. Mm-hmm. And left a dog in the vehicle.
Okay.
Well, there was a loaded shotgun in the back seat. Not sure why it was loaded.
Not on a gun rack. Just in laying in the back seat.
Yep. And so the doggy was roaming around in the back seat. And obviously the paw must have triggered the gun.
My dog's got, I need to get her nails done again, but I could see sometimes the dogs, like my dog around my house, will kind of scratch at the floor or something. Sure. I don't know if she's trying to, not necessarily the whole kind of like nesting thing or trying to make something comfortable. Sometimes they paw at stuff, and maybe there was something there. She saw the spot where the trigger is, right. And maybe the dog's pawing at it. I don't know.
The gun went off and went through the vehicle and struck a lady at right by the gas pump, I guess.
Yeah.
The lady she survived, obviously.
Okay, yeah.
But she was, she was injured, but the dog shot a lady.
That is crazy.
First off, you shouldn't be having, unless, even if you're going hunting, you don't leave a loaded gun in the vehicle like that.
I know law enforcement. Wow. Law enforcement officers. When I was in federal law enforcement, you kept your weapon loaded at all times, but you locked it up when you went home. You have trigger guards. You have other things you can use to prevent it from accidental discharge. But if you're going to have a shotgun in the back of your vehicle, you, number one, might want to have a gun rack.
Right.
If that's legal. Number two, you might want to have a trigger guard on it. And three, you might want to make sure that it's not loaded in the back of your truck. I don't know where you're going to be in Nebraska that you're going to need to have a loaded shotgun.
You should.
Just in case.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
Correct. Maybe if you're hunting, like you said, one thing. But if you're not hunting,
That was one of the more bizarre stories I was reading this morning. I'm like, really? The dog shot somebody? Yeah, okay.
How'd you get shot?
Well there was this dog. All right, how much have you had to drink?
Yeah, exactly. Speaking of how much have you had to drink, we go to the lovely state of Wisconsin.
Oh, boy, this one should be good.
Yeah, and so a driver in southeastern Wisconsin decided it was in his best interest to move a road close sign barrier and then moved it and then drove past it.
Okay.
Well, guess what happened next? Thankfully, it wasn't one of those situations, because I know that I had a situation where there was road construction. I'm taking this back way home to my hometown back in the day when I worked nights until like 11 o'clock. So I'm driving in the dark, right? Well, they had this road I always took back that went straight north of Yankton. Well, they were redoing the bridge that goes over I-94 there or I-90 in South Dakota, right? So thankfully I realized that and I didn't like just drive over the edge and crash, right?
Good, yeah.
No. So, but there's a reason why there are lights or there are signs and things like that to let you know not to mess with it. Well, I didn't do that. Well, this guy, he moved past this barrier and decided that, the road looks fine. I'll just drive.
Sure.
Well, he was driving, and there's a picture on a Facebook post from the Wisconsin Department of Transportation, as they like to call it, WISDOT, which makes sense for Wisconsin. A motorist recently cemented their inability to adhere to signs, is what the post says. So when they went past the barrier that says, road closed, do not enter, they drove and they got stuck in fresh cement that they had just put to redo this road.
Ooh, boy.
So leave it to a Wisconsin driver to ignore the signs.
There had to be some spotted cow involved.
It depends on what day. It looks like, I don't know what time of day it was, but it's got to be a 12-pack if it's before 11, right?
Oh, in Wisconsin? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
That's just a normal day.
Yeah. So officials reminded drivers that barricades and signs are placed for everybody's safety and warned that if others remove or ignore signs and barriers, this might happen to them. And you don't want to be a picture of a pickup stuck up to the middle of its wheels in fresh concrete that you got stuck.
He gets the Darwin Award there.
He gets the duh award of the day. So good job, buddy, of ignoring signs and then trying to just keep on your way. I mean, there's a reason why they've got the road signs and they've got, say, you know, signs that say detour ahead or follow this exit to keep on going where you wanted to go. So it's just, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what to say to someone.
Again, there
like
had
that.
To be beer involved there.
You would think that there would have to be something like that, to say the least. All right, Dino, thank you for jumping in here for a minute. James is holding the hand of one of our West Fargo's finest because they're scared to be on the radio.
There's no cameras involved.
I know.
You're just speaking into a microphone. It's
thankfully, there's no cameras in here because otherwise none of us would be on the radio.
Well, it adds 10 pounds, too.
Yeah, that, too.
You know?
Yeah. Those HD cameras are not good for my... My look I have going for me.
You got a face for radio, buddy.
All right. Thank you, Dino. It is now 8:24. Time to check in with the American Ag Network. And then Janae and Ronnie from the Coffee Club will be joining us. 8:27 on a Tuesday that's like a Monday. Jay Stedman here on Bonnie and Friends last segment. Janae and Ronnie from the Coffee Club joining us now. How are you guys doing today?
Tired.
Hey, you're not Bonnie.
I am not. Everybody out on the radio world is like, obviously. So, holding down the fort till she gets done with her pampering of herself with a vacation. Which
and doing an exemplary job, I might add, in the last week to today.
Yeah. I tell you what, well, you had to bring in a pinch hitter for Janae since she was able to celebrate over the weekend.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Patrick Kirby. Patrick Kirby. Had to have been a good time.
It was terrific.
Although I don't like the energy he brings in right away first thing in the morning. And not because it's bad
energy. I wish I had an ounce of his energy.
It's not bad energy. It's that he's got too much energy at this time of day.
I feel like his glow picked me up.
I know, right? We're just like, hey, what's going on? It's Patrick.
And I don't think he walks. I think he skips all the time.
He just
kind of
skips and floats. Yeah. You're just like, well, this guy's got a little bit too much energy
this
time of day.
I just joked with him. He's got a glimpse into my life, you know, because he did the Jay Thomas show later that same day. I'm like, hey, welcome to the party, pal.
You didn't have to throw a body out of the window to get his attention, though, did you?
No.
Okay, good. Yeah. That's good.
He's such a good guy.
Yeah. Do you guys, I know you were celebrating this weekend. I had a graduation of my own. Mm-hmm. What was the graduation on your side of the family there?
We had my son's girlfriend at 8 years graduated nursing school.
Nice.
Got her RN. She got pinned Thursday and graduated Saturday.
Does she have to take boards after
she
that,
does.
Right? Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
I forget. I know
so
my brother.
So the reward is more school.
No, it's another test.
Oh, yeah.
You've completed all the school, all the training, but now you have to take a
test.
She's
ready. She does it in June. She's done a few practice ones, and she scored very, very well on those.
That's always good. But
She's always been a great student.
Does she have a job lined up, like a hospital?
She does.
Where's she going to be?
She'll be at the Roger Maris Cancer Center.
Oh, good for her. Good for
oncology,
her.
Oncology,
There was someone I knew that was in oncology, and I forget which one it was. It was going to be there as well, or maybe somewhere similar. I know my brother, he's an ER nurse. I've got a cousin that's a NICU nurse, I believe. I had an aunt in Grand Forks who was a nurse for many years.
She's going to go on, too. She's going to get her nurse practitioner.
Yeah. I've got two cousins, by the way, that have nursing degrees. One took... He took like 6 or 7 years to get his nursing degree because he kept switching his major after about like 2 years or more. Both those two cousins both got into nurse anesthetist.
Oh, yeah. That's a good job.
Yeah.
That's what she originally wanted to do.
It's still something she might want to consider at some point in time. Just saying. I think there's always a need for that, and the pay's pretty good, too, as far as I can tell.
When she was a senior in high school, she had her heart set on nurse anesthetist. Mm-hmm. And now... that she completed her degree, she's about nurse practitioner.
Yeah, hey, we need nurse practitioners.
We need
as well.
Them. We need a lot of them.
Yeah,
yes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The nurses especially. I mean, a lot of times you kind of always think doctors and hospitals. The nurses and the certified nurses aides and stuff like that. Those are the ones that make the hospitals.
Absolutely.
Roll. And without them, you're just a doctor with a bad signature, bad penmanship. You know, what do I need? This? Oh, I can't even read it. So, thankfully, the nurses know. What do you guys got coming up on the show today?
Well, it's Nonprofit Day of the Week today, thanks to their family Ford. So we're going to speak with Memory Cafe on healthiest fast food chains.
They're talking about healthiest fast food chain?
The most unhealthiest.
I've probably been to all of them.
we probably all have. And Janae and Ronnie's categories today as well.
Yeah, I found a story that said, I don't know if you guys know this or if you were listening. Do you know how many minutes it takes off your life for every hot dog you eat?
I've heard this before. Wasn't it like five? Five minutes?
It was a lot, actually.
It was a lot, yeah.
It's a lot. What is it?
36 minutes.
Yeah.
For one hot dog.
For one hot dog. That's why it's amazing.
See, this is why I don't eat a hot dog.
This is the reason why it's so amazing that Joey Chestnut's still on this planet.
Yes. You're right. I mean, it should have been like a Back to the Future deal where he just disappears at the end of the contest.
He just fades away. Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, you guys have a great show today. All right. Bonnie and friends, we'll be back tomorrow morning at 5 a.m. Have yourself a great rest of your day.